Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. If the government helps the auto industry make a comeback, it could make a profit for taxpayers. That from Congressman Barney Frank today, who calls for a bank bailout-style investment by the government.
There will be severe restrictions on their compensation, on their ability to have fun, frankly, with the money or to pay dividends.
Congress is expected to convene again soon, beginning Tuesday, to discuss how to prop up the big three automakers. Changing the plan for the bank bailout to avoid having the taxpayers buy up those toxic mortgages. Instead, the Treasury Department and the Treasury Secretary says the financial system itself needs the support.
The newly revised federal bailout policy rules out using the $700 billion program to buy the assets of troubled banks. Treasury Secretary Paulson says the change is aimed at promoting lending and growth.
With a stronger capital base, our banks will be more confident and better positioned to play their necessary role to support economic activity.
A huge chunk of the bailout money will be used to buy bank stocks to improve balance sheets and lending. Paulson says the overall financial system is still fragile because of the economic downturn. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Washington.
It was another rough day on Wall Street. Unhappy earnings reports were coming in. The Dow lost 411 points. NASDAQ was off 81. Art Hogan at Jefferies & Company.
We've priced in a lot of bad news in this market. We just have to figure out how much more is in front of us and how much of it's behind us.
Oil today, $55 and change per barrel. In Iraq, people were digging through terror bomb rubble looking for bodies and survivors. A series of bombings, at least 23 people were killed, 90 others wounded. In a separate incident, a lone Iraqi with a rifle targeted U.S. troops, killing two Americans before being shot to death by return fire. The Supreme Court has ruled in favor of the Navy on the sonar case. Navy exercises may go on, whether whales and dolphins are affected by the pinging or not.
The Supreme Court was willing to accept the Navy's claims about harm to their training on faith, as opposed to doing a rigorous review of all the underlying evidence.
That's Zach Smith at the Natural Resources Defense Council. The High Court ruled the lower court was out of bounds trying to tell the Navy what to do. Pastor Ed Young at Fellowship Church in Grapevine, Texas, is urging married couples to improve their relationships.
I'm challenging every married couple to have sex for 7 straight days.
He says it'll bring them closer together physically and spiritually.
These couples here at Fellowship Church will have the greatest Thanksgiving they've ever had.
Can we get an amen? In Rochester, Minnesota, there is a wasp nest that looks like Buddha, and it is built in the eaves of the Cambodian Buddhist temple there. You can't tell some of the people who worship there, including some of the monks, that it is not a miracle. This is CBS News.
Prices are up. The cost of running your business is up. Everything's up, except your marketing budget. So what's a small business to do? Email marketing to your current customers with ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get professional-looking email newsletters that keep your customers coming back. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial with plans as low as $15 a month. So even if the economy's down, your sales don't have to be. Put your marketing on the upswing with ConstantContact.com.
Today, cantaloupes are $2 for $1 and
cereals
buy 1%
off.
Don't forget to use your rewards card and take advantage of even better deals.
Too much at once can make it hard to hear what's really important. The same could be said about driving. When there's too much on the road, things can get a bit crowded. And since one CSX train reduces traffic congestion by carrying the load of 280 trucks, fewer things will get in the way of you having a smooth drive. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
So have you started your list for twice checking?
It's almost that time again to start looking for holiday gifts.
Parents need to make smart shopping choices.
And Nancy Nord of the Consumer Product Safety Commission has a special warning this year.
In stretching today's dollar, we do not want you to sacrifice safety.
So if you're scouring the internet for bargains, think twice before you buy.
It just makes good sense to research products to make sure that they have not been recalled.
Or you might wind up with a toy that could injure a child, or even worse. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Forensic students at Point Park University in Pittsburgh are reopening the Lizzie Borden murder case on their own. Borden was acquitted of giving her father and stepmother 40 whacks with an axe. That was 1892. Many folks believe she was guilty. So they plan to recreate the scene of the crime, a scale model, and retrace all their steps. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Smart is as smart invests. That's why the smart money is now in CDs. And there's no smarter CD than the one from GMAC Bank. Now get a 12-month CD at a 4.36 annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. Show off your CD smarts. Grow your money while protecting it from market fluctuations. Go to gmacbank.com or call 1-866-246-BANK. Open a CD with as little as $500 and start reaping the benefits. GMAC Bank. Smart. Simple. Safe. Member FDIC.
H stands for the hunt that's almost over. After hundreds and hundreds of miles, there's only a few hundred more. Now it's time to make history. And C will become heir to racing's highest honor. There will be both heroics and heartbreak, all leading to one very happy ending. So hang on to your hats, because H means it's going to be one heck of a heavyweight fight to see who finally hoists the hardware in Homestead.
The chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup concludes with the Ford 400 at Homestead, Miami, Sunday at 3 Eastern on ABC.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, beaming your way from San Francisco, where it's a sunny fall day. I'm glad to have you with us. We've got a power-packed show, and our thanks to producer Katrina Rill for lining up an incredible array of guests today. We'll kick things off shortly with Eric Bollard from Media Matters. We're going to talk about coverage of the vice presidential race this year. Later this hour, Jeff Madrick, who's editor of Challenge Magazine, will join us. He has a new book called Big Government. And we're going to talk about big government bailing out big automakers and other issues, too.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh, no, this is the road to hell.
Also, on today's program, he's not on the road to hell, he's on the road to Washington, D.C. The former Speaker of Oregon's lower house has been elected Democratic Senator. Jeff Merkley will join us at the top of next hour. We'll talk about getting my Fourth Amendment rights back, and that means you'll get them too, about bailouts, and about the issues related to salmon and water diversions, particularly in the Klamath River Basin in Oregon, and that affects California as well. Jeff Merkley, newly elected, will join us next hour here on the program. Also on today's show, Scott Horton. And my appreciation for Scott Horton continues to grow. I first learned about him because he wrote about the case of Don Siegelman, the former governor of Alabama who was sent to prison as a result of the fix by Karl Rove and friends. And Horton reported on that along with our friend Larissa Alexandrovna quite ably. And I've learned more about Scott Horton. He is an expert on the nation of Georgia and has been a participant in peace talks and other negotiations in that part of the world. And he also has a powerful new article, the cover story of the brand new issue of Harper's Magazine called Justice After Bush. And we'll be talking with him about how to investigate and provide accountability for the leaders who have led us astray. And we'll kick off the Free Speech Zone coming up in our third hour with a brief conversation with Josh Silver of Free Press, the media reform group, And we're going to talk about the prospect that the Fairness Doctrine, or something like it, will be reimposed. The very thought strikes fear into the hearts of people like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and Michael Savage, because they want their 9-to-1 advantage preserved. And while I have my own questions about Fairness Doctrine and mandating balance in the media, I think there are ways to do it that aren't onerous or micromanaging. And we'll talk with Josh about that and take lots of your phone calls, too. You can call in anytime, right now, later on, Free Speech Zone. We welcome your participation. It's a toll-free number at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is my number. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Eric Bullard is on his way back from a school pickup. Any parent knows that responsibility. And heavy fines often result if the parent is late now, so we're going to cut him some slack. He'll be with us in just a moment. And I wanted to take this opportunity to thank all the people who have supported the Peter B. Collins Show in recent weeks. Some people sent a dollar. Some people sent 20 bucks. Other people use PayPal to send me 10 bucks or whatever it is. And from the bottom of my heart, I thank you, because we have weathered some rough times here, and we were on track to terminate this program, to take it off the air at the end of this week. That's not going to happen. And I thank you and you and you for coming to our assistance, helping us reach out to new people. And I can't make the announcement yet, but any day now, I do have a major announcement as soon as the documents are signed about a new major East Coast affiliate for the Peter B. Collins Show. And we're hoping that that is going to provide us with the, you know, stability that we need to continue. And so, again, I thank you, and you can visit my website, peterbcollins.com. There's a tab there called You Can Help. It'll give you the very latest information. And once again, gracias, Dankeschön, whatever language works for you. You have my appreciation and my affection. Eric Bullard has safely arrived home with his child in tow and can talk with us now. He, of course, writes for MediaMatters.org, and he does a great job there. Eric, how are you doing today?
Good, and you?
Not too bad. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for rushing home from the school pickup.
That's right.
And I got a couple of brief ones for you. Then I want to talk about treatment of Sarah Palin in the post-election period,
uh-huh.
And then I want to talk about your detailed piece about Joe Biden and the press. You made some very important observations there. First up, Eric, I wanted to ask you about conflicts of interest. My listeners have been calling more and more recently about William Kristol, and you and I and others raised questions when the New York Times hired him as an op-ed columnist in the past year. And his role relating to the Palin pick for the McCain ticket is still something that leads to questions and head-scratching. And it seems to me that he is a political operator.
Yeah.
And the New York Times should either discipline him or take him off the op-ed page, because we don't have Karl Rove up there. We don't have even David Axelrod, the Obama campaign chief, as a regular op-ed featured columnist in what is arguably the newspaper of record in this country. What do you think is the appropriate way for the Times to deal with his various interests and the conflicts that they produce?
Well, I think it's too late. I mean, I think they should not renew his contract for next year. I mean, I think they wanted to have him around for the campaign year, which they did. And I think he's basically embarrassed the newspaper. He's completely lowered the bar, as CJR, Columbia Journalism Review, noted. Kristol's had 5 corrections published. And over the same time, Nicholas Kristof, who writes twice as often as Kristol,
mm-hmm.
which is twice a week, has had no corrections. And their point was that, you know, journalists take facts seriously. And political operatives, you just sort of throw them around. And, you know, I mean, no one ever calls him on, you know, when he's on Fox News and he's just sort of throwing out talking points and spin.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever comes back to him and says, you know, oh, you actually got that wrong. Can you air a correction on Fox News? That's not what political operatives do. They just they push their agenda, and you know, they try to sort of cobble together an argument, and whether it's true or not, or sort of hazy or not, doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, journalists aren't supposed to do that, and even opinion journalists are not supposed to do that. And, you know, I think they totally lowered the bar, and they wanted to have this sort of conservative buzz on their editorial page. But the amazing thing is, you know, when they signed him just about a year ago, he said, I have no connection with the McCain campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And the Times insisted he didn't. But even as late as June of this year, Newsweek was reporting from the McCain campaign that Bill Kristol was, was an unpaid foreign policy advisor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the conflicts of interest are pretty obvious, and the Times really allowed Kristol to lower the bar. He's made several really very embarrassing errors of fact, and his fingerprints are all over the McCain campaign.
Yeah, yeah, I think the Times owes it to us to expose that in news columns and then disclose it as a little footnote to his a tombstone to
yeah.
his column.
And you know, everyone else who's associated with the Times opinion page, whether conservative or moderate or liberal or whatever, they all seem to understand the do's and don'ts of opinion journalism. I mean, the idea that we would find out after the fact, you know, that Paul Krugman was, you know, secretly helping the Obama campaign select their vice president.
Yeah.
I mean, that's absurd. It's unthinkable
mm-hmm.
because they understand that their role, if they're going to be in opinion journalism, is not to then, for half the day, sort of be involved knee-deep in campaigns, and then the other half of the day pretend you're sort of providing this sort of detached, even if it's partisan, observation.
Yeah. And, Eric Bollert, the other thing that I noticed recently is that Andrea Mitchell has been popping up on different shows on MSNBC talking about the transition and, in particular, talking about the bailout and the Treasury Department. And I have never heard NBC disclose the man she sleeps with. And I think that it's pretty important to note that Alan Greenspan is married to Andrea Mitchell, and even if they never talk politics over their pillow, I think that we really should understand, and that, again, public disclosure is the critical element here, that she's got a source there that nobody else has quite the same access to.
Well, yeah, and, you know, particularly, I mean, up until this year, up until a few months ago, it wasn't that big a deal because Alan Greenspan sort of had certainly sort of faded into the background.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was obviously a big conflict of interest years ago, and I think NBC and she, I don't think they talked about it a lot, but I think they tried to make sure that she wasn't covering anything to do with, you know, the Federal Reserve, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But now with this economic collapse, and I mean the Times, New York Times, for instance, a few weeks back, had a major, major piece on Alan Greenspan and how his fingerprints are sort of all over this collapse.
Mm-hmm.
So the economy, the topic has become sort of all-encompassing, and it has to do, as you say, with bailouts. It has to do with the transition. It has to do with unemployment. It has to do with everything now. And you still never hear a word.
Right.
You just never hear any sort of disclosure or asides or anything like that. And you know, they're definitely, it's a slippery slope, and they need to be very careful. They don't, you know, obviously I don't think they like highlighting it, but viewers need to know, absolutely.
Yeah, what, even if you know, occasionally just in chit-chat, you know, Rachel Maddow mentioned, what's your husband Alan Greenspan think about this?
Yeah, no, it's definitely, if you didn't follow this sort of stuff, 9 viewers out of 10 would have absolutely no idea
mm-hmm.
from watching Andrea Mitchell for the last 5 years that she was married to Alan Greenspan.
We'll take a break and return. Eric Bollert with us from Media Matters for America. Their powerful website's available to you anytime, mediamatters.org. As we continue, we'll talk about the extended 15 minutes of fame for Governor Palin of Alaska and the media softball she's getting these days. And we'll also talk about Eric's powerful column about the way the media handled Joe Biden as a vice presidential candidate. That's next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls.
If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
The B Show. We continue with Eric Bullard from Media Matters for America. Again, their website, MediaMatters.org. Now, Eric, I want to do some contrasting here between press treatment of the vice presidential candidates. We saw what happened with Sarah Palin, where they put a big bubble around her, and the media generally observed it. And now that she's no longer a candidate, she's had more interaction with the press than she did the entire time she was a candidate. Yet they're not asking her tough questions. They're not asking about the Troopergate scandal and the abuse of power that clearly occurred when she became governor. And it just strikes me that the media continues to misplay the whole area of Sarah Palin.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Matt, watching Matt Lauer, you know, hang out in Sarah Palin's kitchen in Wasilla.
That's palling around.
Yeah, that's just sort of lifestyle stuff, and it wasn't particularly serious, and they're more interested in this sort of intramural Republican gossip about whether she knew Africa was a continent or not. I mean, again, that's just sort of gotcha process stuff. It's got nothing to do really with her candidacy and even what she believes in. I mean, almost nobody thinks she's going to fade away and not be on the national scene for years to come, at least within the Republican Party. But, no, you're right. I mean, during the campaign, they were able to keep her pretty secluded. And even now, after the campaign, where she's doing lots of interviews, it's not really about much of anything.
Yeah, yeah. So, in contrast to that, Joe Biden got treated pretty roughly by the press. You cite in your excellent column that people should read, there's a link to it on the homepage at MediaMatters.org, that the Pew Research Center found that in the coverage of Joe Biden, that 48% of it was clearly negative in tone, 35% neutral or mixed, only 17% positive. And certainly, you know, Joe Biden contributes to some of the coverage that he gets, some of the characterization that he gets. But it's fair to say, and I think your column does a good job of framing this, that the media went ape, well, we can't say that, apey on him, and really put labels on him that didn't match his behavior, at least not during explicitly this campaign period.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole thing was to paint Joe Biden as a buffoon and a goof and a gaffometer and all that sort of stuff. So what we had was, again, you mentioned the Pew study. I mean, the Biden coverage was a fraction of the Palin coverage. There wasn't actually, as we were saying, there weren't actually interviews with Palin, but coverage about her and her sort of excitement and the buzz and everything surrounding her. So Biden got almost no coverage compared to all four of the major candidates.
Yeah.
But the coverage he did get was overwhelmingly devoted to portraying him as a goof and a buffoon. And it was really quite amazing. I mean, this is a serious guy, chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, occasionally said some things that he, you know, had to walk back, as anyone does who campaigns in front of cameras 14 hours a day for 2 months.
Well, and as you point out, what he did was unscripted. What she did was entirely scripted.
This is the great irony. I mean, campaign press whines incessantly about how scripted candidates are, about they're not authentic, about how their interaction with the voters is all sort of choreographed. And here comes Joe Biden. He's sort of a throwback politician. He'll talk to anyone, any reporter, loves the art of conversation. Everyone says he talks too much. And he says colorful things. He says whatever pops into his head. And what did the press do? The press mocked him for not being scripted enough. When for the last 20 years they've been begging candidates to get off the script, be more authentic. Joe Biden does both, and they label him a jackass, basically. And, of course, he retreated and went back to his script. And then they complained to him retreating and going back to the script. It was really quite...
Yeah, the one thing we can be sure wasn't in a script was when he told that wheelchair-bound legislator from Missouri to stand up.
And he immediately said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that.
Right,
And the other thing was, that it was obvious, voters couldn't have cared less about these so-called gaffes.
Yeah, read more about it, Eric Bollard at MediaMatters.org. Thank you, Eric.
Talk to you soon, Peter.
All right. We'll continue in a moment and talk about big government with Jeff Madrick on the Peter B. Collins Show.
progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech, and by the Clarity Life C900 mobile phone for seniors. I'm Charles Osgood. It took a federal task force almost a year to come up with ways to help passengers stuck for hours aboard planes parked on airport tarmacs. But basically none of the recommendations of the task force requires the airports or the airlines to do anything. Tarmac Task Force member and passenger rights advocate Kate Hannay.
I'm casting a dissenting vote because it does not have basic passenger rights measures in it.
You mean nothing whatsoever?
Nothing for the passengers in terms of being able to get off the plane, nothing in terms of being able to get a drink of water, a snack, temperature control, or overflowing toilets, nothing.
Why that happened in the eye of Kate Hannay, after this. The most common cause of blindness in people aged 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, AMD. It begins with symptoms that include wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you're not seeing clearly, see an eye doctor and get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. Wouldn't it be great if you could call your parents or grandparents and they could actually hear you loud and clear? Well, now they can, thanks to the Clarity Life C900, the first mobile phone equipped with 20 dBs of amplified sound. The Clarity Life C900 has an easy-to-use phone book, oversized buttons, and a large backlit display, making cell phone use easy. Security, simplicity, and amplification all in one device. The Clarity Life C900, peace of mind for baby boomers and their parents. Available at clarityproducts.com. Passenger rights advocate Kate Hannay says the meetings of the tarmac task force were like a nightmare.
The airlines themselves are the ones that rejected every single effort. They hired attorneys. They sent attorneys to these meetings. They did not send members of their own team.
She says being stuck in the meetings was almost as awful as being stuck on a plane, stuck on a tarmac.
It was horrifying. I mean, I actually shed some tears at one of the meetings because I was so frustrated that we couldn't even define what a lengthy delay is.
2 hours, 10 hours. They refused to spell it out.
I think it's very important that we have some minimum guidelines for basic human standards on aircraft.
Industry analyst Terry Tripler says,
we had a stalemate is what we had on this, and I think we will continue to have stalemates until both sides want to sit down and say, okay, let's work this out. Let's see where we're going here.
Passenger advocate Hannay says,
what we need to do is we need to advocate together for some laws that will benefit everyone.
The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Want to meet a healthcare provider that will give you the time to talk about your health issues and actually listen to you? Are you looking for an alternative to the pill-popping culture created by the megaceutical companies? Do you have chronic pain, headaches, depression, allergies, or any other unresolved health concerns? Give Optimal Health a try. Hi, I'm Glenn Sadowski, licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey at 655-3208. I'll be at the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore in downtown Carmel on the first and third Sundays of each month. Reserve your space for an absolutely free 20-minute health evaluation, a wonderful opportunity to make an informed decision on your well-being. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture at 655-3208 today. Times are limited. Optimal Health, where you receive good medicine with great results. Our number again is 655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with a shout-out to our late-night listeners in San Francisco.
This following program is dedicated to the city and people of San Francisco, who may not know it, but they are beautiful.
I think they know it, actually.
This is a very personal song, so if the viewer cannot understand it, particularly those of you who are European residents, save up all your bread
Cosmo Airways to San Francisco, USA. Then maybe you'll understand the song. It will be worth it. If not for the sake of this song, but for the sake of your own peace of mind.
And for our European listeners, if you just save up all your bread and send it to us, we need a bailout.
Strobe lights beam, creates dream.
All right, thank you, Eric Burden.
Wars move.
Joining me this half hour is Jeff Madrick. He's the editor of Challenge Magazine, a regular contributor to the New York Review of Books, and he's director of policy research at the New School University's Schwartz Center for Economic Policy. His new book is called The Case for Big Government, published by Princeton University Press. Jeff Madrick, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
I'm intrigued by your ideas, and I want to make a confession to begin with.
Sure.
I pride myself on reading the books, or at least most of a book, of someone I interview. And unfortunately, The Case for Big Government didn't arrive in time for our interview today. When it does get here, we'll see if we're going to blame the Big Government Postal Service or FedEx for that.
I'm sorry about that.
Well, it's not your fault. But I just wanted to explain, because otherwise I'd know more about the ideas you offer in the book. Now, I did read an article that you penned for Commonweal in October. It's dated October 10th. Government
right.
is not the problem. So I have a sense of some of your ideas.
Yeah, that was a reasonable summary of the theme.
Why don't you, for our listeners' benefit, talk about how you are willing to buck the trend that really was started back in the Reagan years, that government is the problem, and the way Democrats have responded to it, most notably Bill Clinton, who declared in 96 in his State of the Union message that the era of big government is over. Now, he was talking to focus groups and pollsters there, trying to burnish his image. He
right.
wasn't really reflecting reality at that time, nor could we hear that kind of a comment from George W. Bush, who presided over
Ronald Reagan, for that matter. Really.
Yeah, huge expansions of government under all of those presidents.
Yeah, it's really a rallying cry for a political rallying cry that's meaningless in terms of content, but is very unfortunate for the rest of us, because it's led to a sense that government cannot be used to promote the general good, to get John Lockean about it.
Mm-hmm.
It really didn't happen in the 1980s, I think. It started in the 1970s with inflation and unemployment, and a bunch of politicians, a handful of sort of renegade economists and some policymakers convinced the American people it was all the fault of government. In fact, the issues were far more complex back in the 1970s, the high inflation, OPEC, oil crisis, and so forth.
Yeah, well,
government spending.
They called it the misery index, but it wasn't connected to government issues per se.
Not in any simple way, no, but
yeah.
They made it as simple as could be. People were a little bit tired of the 60s, I think. Government did do some things wrong. Why wouldn't it, of course? But it's not all good all the time either. But they really simplified it. It caught on. It became a scapegoat. But it's done enormous damage, because we've neglected so much in America over the last 35 years. We haven't responded to changing needs, changing knowledge, changing economics. We've let our conventional, our traditional assets go. We're really living off assets from the past. And we stopped regulating markets in ways that are required, and the consequences, what we've seen today, a credit crisis, and really a dangerous, dangerous recession. The bottom is falling out, and we are now not in a crisis. A crisis is the wrong word. This is a state of economic emergency.
Mm-hmm.
The consequence of this ideology, this anti-government ideology.
Well, indeed, and it is so mind-numbing, or maybe there's a better term we could use on the street, but, you know, when you see the Republicans who always talk about small government preside over expansion, the Department of Homeland Security is an amalgam of different agencies that's, you know, bloated the bureaucracy even further, and then when their cronies on Wall Street ran into trouble and said, you know, we need help, they didn't say, hey, isn't it time to talk about personal responsibility and free markets and
right.
and how capitalism is designed to work? No. They turned around and embraced a socialist response. this problem that was created by capitalists.
Yeah, that's nothing new, you know. There's been sort of socialism for capitalists for a long time, and welfare for capitalists, let's call it. And the fact is, government has come along to save capitalism time and again in our history, indeed in the history of capitalism itself. And it should, but we're way behind the ball now. We're tragically behind the ball. We let things get way out of hand for no darn reason whatsoever. And the Democrats were party to that.
Mm-hmm.
Not as seriously as the Republicans, but you cite Bill Clinton correctly. That administration didn't want to regulate derivatives. They did want to deregulate Wall Street. In the last year of the Clinton administration, as a proportion of GDP, federal government spent less on education, infrastructure, and science and technology than Reagan did in his last year as a proportion of GDP. It was all surpluses all the time, and aren't we great? And, they did some good things in the Clinton administration, but they really got carried away with themselves and didn't look ahead far enough from my point of view, and they abided by that ideology, which has hurt us so badly.
We're talking with Jeff Madrick. His new book is called The Case for Big Government. Now, Jeff, let me put you on the spot here and ask you for some ideas. You don't have to have a defined program. But how you think our government should respond to the new request from Detroit for a bailout, a loan, some sort of financial relief? And let me just establish a couple of points here. First of all, that Detroit is responsible for the mess that it's in. And in the past, when capitalists make big blunders, in general, we have allowed their businesses to fail. And the system is fabulous and fascinating in the way it basically allows other people to pick up the pieces that work, and the pieces that don't just fall by the wayside, some into bankruptcy or some just into disuse and disillusion. And so here we have Detroit on its knees through its own fault. And they are presenting this very stark choice. And this comes into Naomi Klein's description of disaster capitalism and these shock doctrines. But here Detroit is telling us that General Motors is going to run out of cash before the end of the year. So don't ask questions. Don't put restrictions on them. Just give me the money and get out of the way.
Right.
So how do we deal with this? Because I don't want manufacturing of automobiles to disappear from the North American continent.
You're not putting me on the spot. I think that the auto industry supports a heck of a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
These guys go under, we're talking about 2-3 million jobs, and a lot of jobs from the people they buy their food and clothing from and their auto parts from, and the dealerships go under and so forth and so on. So we've got a real problem here. Temporarily, they've been hit by an extraordinary set of circumstances here in this recession. But are we going to give them money? It's precisely along the lines you're discussing. Are we going to give them money with no restrictions? That just can't be. Moreover, are we going to give them money and let them do business as usual? And I'm not just talking about, forcing them to make green cars, which will be costly, but I do think they should be. There should be incentives for them to take new technologies very seriously. But I think we've got to talk about how much auto manufacturing America can really needs over time. We just can't support these companies because they're auto companies. And I actually think, and this is highly controversial, the government should be involved in intense analysis and discussion with these managements, with economists, with the unions, and with the communities about just what can survive reasonably and what cannot survive reasonably.
And
the auto companies cannot, have shown time and again, they just can't do it on their own.
Jeff, as you say that, I have to just describe the conflicted feelings that surface. And part of this is that I have been hearing for 25 years now that the government can't do anything right. And so the idea that government would essentially take these auto giants into receivership and try to manage them is something that gives me pause.
But
a lot of that is brainwashing, and I just want to freely admit that to you.
It is brainwashing, and they don't have to take them into receivership literally and manage them, but they can organize serious discussions with all the parties and provide guidance. Maybe it is, in the end, managing them.
But enough is enough. I can give you the example after example of big businesses that have managed this country into the, you know, into the dangerous territory we're now in, and you, so can you. Government does some things very well, and they do some things not very well. Now is the time for them to stand up and do something very well. And you know when government really gets bad? When you have people like Bush appointing people to power who have no interest in government.
Well, not only that, Jeff. It's what I call the wrecking crew.
Yeah.
And this started with Reagan, where you put people into a cabinet post who are openly hostile to the mission of the agency that they're running and to the regulations that they're supposed to enforce.
I couldn't agree with you more. The enforcement, for example, of labor regulations in America is a travesty, pretty much bordering on criminal. Our minimum wage and maximum hour laws are violated across the nation, and we have 60-70% more workers than we had 25 years ago. We have fewer, I think. We have fewer labor inspectors and much less rigorous enforcement, even if we had more labor inspectors. It's one of dozens of examples like that.
Yeah.
It goes on and on.
We're talking with Jeff Madrick, his new book, The Case for Big Government, and we're joined by Connie from Seaside, listening on KRXA. Go ahead, Connie.
Hi. I'm sorry to disagree with you. They have not been hit with an extraordinarily difficult situation.
Unfortunately, John, you're going to have to translate for me. I can't hear.
Oh, okay. I'll turn that up a little bit here. Go ahead.
Excuse me, they have not been hit with an extraordinarily difficult set of situations over the last couple of months or whatever because of our economy now. They have known for years that the consumers do not want these big trucks. They have known for years that they need to retool and have not done it.
And their congressional delegation, including Democrats like John Dingell, have run interference for them and prevented any meaningful regulation to try to move them forward more in sync with consumer demand. And we left the tax breaks for SUVs and light trucks in place well after it became clear that market was saturated and with higher oil prices untenable in the long term. Jeff, Connie. What do you say to that, Jeff?
Yeah, the auto companies have been in trouble since the 1970s, clearly. That was the Japanese invasion and partly the European invasion. They have not been good at managing themselves out of any of that. When the SUVs became popular, and let's face it, they did become popular, and so did light trucks. People weren't forced to buy them, though there were tax breaks eventually. They depended on that. They thought they found the model again, and they stopped innovating. Yeah, I find them pretty outrageous, too. We've hit it. You know, the market fell out from under them, however. Let's not oversimplify. It fell out from under them this fall with the credit crisis and so forth. So that's why they're crying for money from Washington immediately, because they don't have money to pay their bills and their wages. But I'm not exonerating them. It has been, in my view, pretty terribly managed. And every time, you know, when they occasionally get bailed out by the SUV rage, and I think they need some guidance.
But
and governments
provide
guidance.
Go ahead, Connie.
But they're not even willing to take any advice or guidance in that they need to sell cars that the American people want. And they want this money free and clear. Well, if they want this money, they're going to have to take it under our terms. And that's the way it's got to be. If they don't want those terms, then they shouldn't get the money.
Well, I'm partly with you on that, and I think I made my point clear. I think sometimes Americans have wanted the cars they're made, but they have no long-term vision and very little sense of responsibility to our oil needs, to our pollution problems, and in fact, to the survival of their companies themselves.
Yeah,
don't see beyond, you know, the next corner.
There's a quote I read today from the vice chairman of GM just from March of this year, where he had open contempt for the Toyota Prius and said, oh, GM will never build a car like that.
I have talked to some of those guys. It's remarkable. They do have contempt for those kinds of experiments. And
yeah.
On the one hand, and then sometimes they'll say, oh, yeah, we're really moving on that. And, you know, they don't. They're not moving on that.
We'll take a break and return with Jeff Madrick. As we mentioned, he is the editor of Challenge Magazine. His new book, The Case for Big Government. We're talking bailouts and stuff. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
My name is R.J. Moyer, President of Family Heritage Management Services. I am a retirement specialist, and I protect my clients' money, and I can guarantee an income for life. We don't recommend stocks, mutual funds, or variable annuities. These are risky securities. With securities, you have unlimited upside, but you also have unlimited downside. Our clients do not lose money in negative markets. Do you have a multi-generational IRA? Why not? It's been your right since 2001. Don't let Uncle Sam be your biggest beneficiary because your banker or broker is sleeping at the wheel. Call us right now at 831-794-8485 to receive your free brochure. We will then set up your free IRA and retirement checkup in our Salinas location. Call 831-794-8485. It's a new market, and it's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485. If you transfer your IRA, 401k, or any of your retirement accounts today, we will add 10% to your full account value. $100,000 becomes $110,000, $400,000 becomes $440,000, $700,000 becomes $770,000. It's a new market. It's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
If you love KRXA 540, show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Peter B. Collins Show
is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire.
Thank you, Johnny Cash. 8 minutes in front of the hour. We continue with Jeff Madrick. The Case for Big Government is his new book. He's also the editor of Challenge Magazine. And we are joined by Steve from Salinas, listening on KRXA. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good afternoon. Say, today I believe it was Paulson came out. I think he's the guy in charge of the emergency bailout.
Right, Secretary of the Treasury.
Right, okay. And the gist of the article that I read said that they were changing their tactics on how to apply the monies. I think he said that they were going to start using it to purchase stocks in the banks.
Well, they have done that, but what he's saying is they're backing away from the original intent of the bailout, which was to purchase bad paper. And they also are not activating in any significant way the urge to help refinance the troubled loans that are the virus at the heart of the problems in our financial system. Jeff?
Well,
they're not going to buy. They're not going to buy those toxic assets and get them out of the bank's hands, and or so they're saying, and trying to create a floor for the value of those. What stirs me about the Paulson announcement today, and I don't think it's wrong-headed on the face of it, but it's starting to send a shiver down Wall Street that he really doesn't know what he's doing. Every time he announces something, and there's some kind of pressure that from Wall Street and from others that it's not working, he goes and rejiggers it. Mm-hmm. Now, the Wall Street and other critics may be right that it's not working, but he just can't seem to get in front of the game here. It was always a mistake to believe that essentially what we had to do is recapitalize these banks, get them enough capital, and then the system would work on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the banks have the money, as we now know, doesn't mean they'll lend it. That was a lesson that goes all the way back to John Maynard Keynes. We need a serious stimulus program now because banks, people don't want to borrow unless their businesses don't want to borrow, unless they have business, unless they have sales. And that's in a nutshell, a simple nutshell, but a true nutshell, what John Maynard Keynes was about. You have to get government spending again in these rather dangerous times so that business will want to borrow again, and then the banks can do their job. I do think it's good Paulson's pushing them to borrow, but I do think we need a serious stimulus plan despite the size of the government deficit that Bush has put us in with combined tax cuts and big war spending.
Mm-hmm. Steve,
and we got to go ahead on this.
Steve, did you have another comment?
Well, I was just going to say that's the same impression that I got, because certainly there's been discussions going on about this for months, okay? And, probably, 6 months ago they had to be having warning signs that this was going to come. And then they had to get it done just overnight and push that package through. And I just think that really the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing right now.
All right, Steve, thank you very much. Now, Jeff, I want to put this to you because we've learned in the last few days that at the very time that Paulson presented a $700 billion number picked out of the air with a demand for unfettered restrictions on the unfettered rights given to the Treasury Secretary, at the very same time they unilaterally made a change in the tax code that represents a $140 billion gift to banks, and it adds another $2 billion to the deficit here in California, where we're way underwater because Wells Fargo is going to be able to claim that for taking over Wachovia.
It is very upsetting. Very upsetting that this went through. It sounds devious. The Republicans, you should make it clear, of course, to your listeners, the Republicans have been trying to get this, what is in effect a big loophole, through for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And this Treasury Secretary literally snuck it through on this package because there were so many other things going on. Some congressmen knew about it, were actually afraid to bring it up because they thought it would jeopardize the package. So, I talk about big government, but this is where government goes awry.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we need, we just need a new president. We need this man in there as soon as possible.
Well, and your implicit premise is that you support big government that operates appropriately under the law and with transparency, not with presidential power grabs like we've seen in the last 7 years.
Yeah, and self-serving policies. My argument is this. We have lived under an ideology that's not fact-based. It's faith-based. I am not asking for a new ideology that's faith-based. I'm asking for us to use government in pragmatic, robust ways. And that's what we did in America, and I talk about this in the book, a fair amount of history. Since the very beginning, when we were good, we didn't always manage this country well. There have been ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
But when we managed it well, we used government pragmatically, and we used it robustly. And there is room for bigger government in America, even if we had 3 or 4% more government than we have now. We would be way beneath the levels in most of Europe and certainly Scandinavia. And many of those countries are doing well and are very productive and have high GDPs.
Jeff Mathrick, it's a pleasure to meet you. When your book comes in, I'm going to read it, then I'm going to call you again and we'll have you back.
I would like you to call me again.
I will. Jeff Mathrick, the author of The Case for Big Government and editor of Challenge Magazine. We'll take a break and return. The senator-elect from Oregon, Democrat Jeff Merkley, will join me next on The Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. talking with Coach Dennis about how to get fit and get rich while helping others do the same.
That's right, Peter. You can earn extra money from your home or office on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Your health, your body, and your net worth come down to one thing, taking action. Control your own destiny. As an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a better life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. Hundreds of other successful online coaches nationwide are getting fit and getting rich and living the dream lifestyle that comes with a thriving internet business. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It couldn't be easier. Get fit and get rich. It's all done part-time. It's all done online. And it's all done when you have the time. Call me now, 702-299-5789. No obligation. That's 702-299-5789. Or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A change of plan for the bailout fund.
Getting credit going, getting lending going. I can't imagine anything else will have a bigger impact.
The Dow drops more than 400 points.
It's beginning to look like we're going to have to put Santa Claus's picture on a milk carton this year.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The Bush administration has dropped its original plan to revive the credit system. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer reports.
The newly revised federal bailout policy rules out using the $700 billion program to buy the assets of troubled banks. Treasury Secretary Paulson says the change is aimed at promoting lending and growth.
With a stronger capital base, our banks will be more confident and better positioned to play their necessary role to support economic activity.
A huge chunk of the bailout money will be used to buy bank stocks to improve balance sheets and lending. Paulson says the overall financial system is still fragile because of the economic downturn. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Washington.
What's happened to the money that's been given to banks already? CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson looked into this but didn't get very far.
The Treasury Department agreed to post every transaction on the Internet, but all it shows is the list of banks and how many billions they got. The brand new Financial Stability Oversight Board has met four times already, but they don't know how the banks are using the money. There's no hint in the first official Treasury report submitted to Congress last week. And Congress promised to create its own special oversight board, but more than 5 weeks later, not one person has been named to the panel.
The banks themselves say they're not required by law to disclose how they're using the money. At least four of them are using bailout bucks to merge with or acquire other banks. Now this.
Prices are up. The cost of running your business is up. Everything's up, except your marketing budget. So what's a small business to do? Email marketing to your current customers with ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get professional-looking email newsletters that keep your customers coming back. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial with plans as low as $15 a month. So even if the economy's down, your sales don't have to be. Put your marketing on the upswing with ConstantContact.com.
Smart is as smart invests. That's why the smart money is now in CDs, and there's no smarter CD than the one from GMAC Bank. Now get a 12-month CD at a 4.36 annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. Show off your CD smarts. Grow your money while protecting it from market fluctuations. Go to GMACBank.com or call 1-866-246-BANK. Open a CD with as little as $500 and start reaping the benefits. GMAC Bank. Smart, simple, safe. Member FDIC.
The White House has not been enthusiastic about a bailout for U.S. automakers, but spokeswoman Dana Perino softened her tone today.
Congress and the administration and the companies have an obligation to put their best minds towards trying to figure out what we can do to the greatest extent possible to try to keep these companies viable. And if we can do that, we certainly will.
Congress has been called back into session next week, and the Democratic leadership is pushing for $25 billion in emergency loans. Jeff Gilbert of Detroit station WWJ has General Motors' reaction.
A GM spokesman says they are encouraged by the clear and strong messages of support they've received from Congress. The company's Greg Martin saying this is one of the most extraordinary economic challenges the country has faced in generations.
Leadership on Congress is getting that message. They understand it. They also understand that this industry has been delivered a real roundhouse by the global financial crisis.
General Motors has warned that without the loans, it could run out of money early next year. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
The closing bell ended a third straight day of declines on Wall Street. The Dow fell 411 points to 8282, and the Nasdaq fell 81 points to 1499. Today, Macy's reported a $44 million loss in the third quarter, and Best Buy lowered its expectations for next year. Art Cashin is head of trading floor operations for UBS Financial Services.
On the one side, we look like a recession is coming on like a steam locomotive, and that's going to hurt earnings. And at the same time, the financial system remains very tight.
Cashin says the market reacted badly to the government's shifting tactics on the bailout. And the outlook for consumer spending this holiday season is so bleak that Cashin says Santa's picture might show up on milk cartons. Morgan Stanley plans to cut 10% of the staff in its biggest business, institutional securities. The Atlantis Hotel and Resort in the Bahamas has laid off 800 people, about 10% of its workforce. And after the market closed, Intel slashed more than $1 billion from its fourth quarter revenue forecast, saying demand for its computer chips is significantly weaker than expected. The price of crude oil fell to $56 a barrel. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Prices are up. The cost of running your business is up. Everything's up, except your marketing budget. So what's a small business to do? Email marketing to your current customers with ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get professional-looking email newsletters that keep your customers coming back. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial with plans as low as $15 a month. So even if the economy's down, your sales don't have to be. Put your marketing on the upswing with ConstantContact.com.
Today, cantaloupes are two for a dollar, and cereals are 1% off. Get an anti-fragile rewards card and take advantage of even better deals.
Too much at once can make it hard to hear what's really important. The same could be said about driving. When there's too much on the road, things can get a bit crowded. And since one CSX train reduces traffic congestion by carrying the load of 280 trucks, fewer things will get in the way of you having a smooth drive. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Later this hour, Scott Horton will join us. He writes for Harper's Magazine, and his cover story this month is called Justice After Bush. He wants a Truth and Reconciliation Commission about torture. The BT and the O there, called Gimme Your Money, Please. And that's a phrase that our next guest is going to have to get used to as he heads to Washington as the newly elected Democratic Senator from Oregon. Jeff Merkley joins us. Up till now, he's been Speaker of the House in Oregon. Senator, welcome back to our program.
Peter, it's great to join you, and that's a beautiful title.
Well, and you worked hard for it, and you did us all a big favor by defeating Gordon Smith and allowing him to go back to frozen vegetables.
Well, I tell you, the blue tide did wash over Oregon, and we're happy to join California and Washington. We didn't feel we were holding up our end of the deal, and now we will be.
And what do you think is the key to your success? What made this a blue tide in Oregon this year?
You know, it was clearly a reaction to our nation being so far off track. The vision that I was laying out to voters in terms of was the difference between a nation that has been being run by and for powerful special interests versus putting this nation back to work for working Americans.
Mm-hmm. I opened up with the BTO song, Give Me Your Money, Please, and we spent the half hour before talking about the prospect of a bailout for Detroit. What is your sense, first of all, about where we should draw the line about bailing out capitalists who failed at capitalism?
You know, I was against the $700 billion blank check and for a host of reasons. One is it didn't address the predatory mortgage practices that were at the very foundation of the problem. It didn't restore oversight of Wall Street. Didn't proceed to really have a plausible theory about how buying bad assets at value was going to strengthen the institutions and restore liquidity. And it looked like it didn't look like it was going to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is important to reestablish liquidity, but it's also important to rectify the very mistakes that impoverished our families, stripped wealth from our working families, and certainly from all of our families via the stock market and the misdirected activities of Wall Street.
Well, Senator, I'll only add to that that retirees are frightened now because the value of their assets and their retirement funds has dropped precipitously. And people like me at age 55 are looking at the prospect of having to work an extra 10 years or so to make up the ground that has been lost just in the last 60 days.
No, that's right. And I just did a swing through southern Oregon and eastern and central Oregon. And I can't tell you how many people said, you know, I'm thinking that my life has been set back 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what about Detroit? What do you think is the right formula for addressing their needs without, putting the taxpayers on the line for companies that might go bankrupt ultimately anyway? And how can we make any kind of relief for Detroit contingent on their moving into their own self-interest to provide products that Americans are going to buy and drive for years to come because they're fuel efficient and because, they fit into our current economic needs?
You know, and this is the approach I bring to it is I'm so frustrated with where we are in the car industry. We missed a huge opportunity that you all were leading the country with your electric car proposal here a few years ago that unfortunately got wiped out by the oil companies and the car companies.
Yeah.
And I feel like if we are going to have a smart energy policy, which I think is essential to the future of this nation, to end dependence on foreign oil, to quit shipping $2 billion a day overseas, to reduce the national security risks involved in that dependency, certainly to tackle global warming, we have to massively restructure our car fleet. And that's a huge opportunity to our companies. And the fact that they are not deeply immersed in hybrids and plug-in hybrids and electric cars worries me. And I think any sort of package at this point we have to work out a strategy where they're really going to be a big part of the solution of having a smart energy policy in the future in terms of pursuing those objectives.
I also think that part of the package is relief for all of American business, which is to provide, in my view, full coverage and single-payer coverage, at least as an option, for American workers, because Detroit is going to continue to have huge liabilities and competitive disadvantages because of the burden of health care costs. And that's one element of a bailout that I'm willing to give to Detroit if everybody else in America gets it too.
Well, I think you've really pointed out a key point here, which is you build a car in America, it costs about $1,500 in health care to build it. You build it across the border in Canada, and that cost is wiped out. So we have a competitive disadvantage for our international companies doing business internationally. We certainly have a huge challenge to our small business when they're facing premium increases of 26 to 40%.
Mm-hmm.
And when I recruited folks to run for the Oregon Legislature and knocked on doors in their districts, I can tell you that at every door I'd always ask what is the issue that concerns you most, and the response was living wage jobs and affordable health care. These are just fundamentals for families to succeed, and we've been shipping the jobs overseas through trade and tax policies that have been hurting us, and we've done nothing about creating affordable, accessible health care.
Jeff Merkley, Senator-elect from Oregon, is our guest here. He's with us just for a few more minutes, this segment only, so if you have a question or comment, you better dial in right now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And, Senator, if you'll indulge me, My biggest concern right now, I consider the economy to be very serious and something that definitely needs to be addressed. But the most pressing problem for me is I want to see a return to constitutional rule in Washington. And the Obama transition team is sending the right signals. John Podesta enumerated the other day that they're already looking at the executive orders that can be reversed by the president when he takes office in January. But fundamentally, I want my Fourth Amendment rights back. I want an end to illegal surveillance of American citizens. I believe it's unconstitutional, even though it's been papered over statutorily by the FISA reforms. And I also want to see that Gitmo is closed, that we renounce torture, that signing statements will not be used to end run the intent of legislation. And I hope that you will sign on to this return to the real bedrock of constitutional law in this country.
You know, the summer before last, I was out with my son in Washington, D.C., and we were at the Jefferson Memorial, and I was showing him how Jefferson is looking at straight at the White House and how the trees have been removed so that Jefferson can have a clear view and make sure that the president is abiding by the Constitution. And my 10-year-old son, scratched his head and looked up at me and said, "Well, Dad, I think Jefferson needs to start doing a better job." And I'll tell you this, Jefferson can't do it for us. We have to do it ourselves. And I have talked throughout our state about the fact that we need to have a Congress and a Senate that will absolutely say no to warrantless wiretapping, that will restore habeas corpus that's hanging by a thread, that mm-hmm. will end any association of this nation whatsoever with torture or secret prisons, and proceed to shut down Guantanamo and restore the torch of America as a leader on civil liberties around the world.
Mm-hmm. Now, Senator, we just elected the first anti-war candidate in my lifetime, and I support Barack Obama's intention to bring our troops home from Iraq. He may do it a little more slowly than I'd like, but he has the right intention there. I can't say the same about Afghanistan, and I'm very concerned that without enough study, without enough debate, without a clear mission, without a clear exit strategy, that if we put tens of thousands of more troops into Afghanistan, we can replicate the quagmire we've got in Iraq.
We could easily be as mired in Afghanistan as we are currently in Iraq, and the situation there is, and let me just talk about Iraq a little bit here, because I'll tell you, as a senator, I'm going to be pushing to back up Obama and actually implement a strong, firm timeline in which we're getting our troops out of a situation that they should never have been in. We don't understand the culture. We don't speak the language. Our very presence sustains a occupation of an Islamic nation. It doesn't serve us in any way. And I think there'll be a big window of opportunity with Obama as president.
Now, what about Afghanistan?
Well, in Afghanistan, my feeling is we have to have a very clear and limited mission. And if that mission is the activity of al-Qaeda in the mountains between Pakistan and Afghanistan, we need to understand what troop levels that takes, what sort of timeline it's on, and not allow ourselves to be bogged down in trying to do 10 other things. Now, there's a nickname for the president of Afghanistan, which is the mayor of Kabul.
Right.
And the reason that nickname is there is because you essentially have a country that's a series of warlords. It's very difficult to extend any sort of centralized authority over the entire nation. If we don't go in there kind of fully understanding the nature of the country and have a clear, limited objective, then we're it's going to be an ongoing problem.
Jim in Portland has a question I was going to ask you, and I'll let him ask it. Jim, you're on the air with Senator Merkley.
Hi, Senator Merkley. The question is a question I had for you. Under the Bush administration and then Senator Smith, the salmon runs really had a terrible time. They didn't follow science-based management. We had back-to-back disasters this year and in 2006.
And Jim, let me just interject that Dick Cheney himself personally intervened to divert the Klamath River water to farms instead of fish.
Yeah, that's right. And the there was really politics over science.
Well, it was designed to reelect Gordon Smith. That's why.
Right. Yeah, that was what was reported in the Wall Street Journal. Now, it seems that Smith paid a price. The salmon counties of Clatsop and Lincoln and Columbia and Lane voted for a Democrat this year for Senate when they voted for Smith in 02.
Well, let's get the senator's comment. I just have about a minute and a half. Go ahead, Jeff Merkley.
Well, Jim, I really appreciate the question, and I'll tell you the whether it's the Columbia River runs or whether it's the coastal runs, we are in great peril and with much work to be done. And I appreciate your comment about science-based approach, because we've had an administration that proceeded to bend every scientific report, influence, if you will, for political purposes. That is completely unacceptable. I was just astounded to see that half the scientists in the EPA said that they've been pressured by their managers to modify their scientific findings for political purposes.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have an administration that believes in science. I certainly, as a senator, I'm going to advocate through the hearing process for us to understand the facts and use it as a foundation for building our plan for going forward. And, the fisheries are complicated. The coastal conditions are complicated.
Mm-hmm.
The whole fish economy in the Columbia and the tributaries is complicated.
Climate change is contributing to the complications.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And if we aren't willing to look at the evidence, and then any hope of restoring strong runs is absolutely doomed.
Jeff Merkley, I wish you the best in the United States Senate. I'd like to extend an invitation to you to join us on the program once a month to give us a report on your activities.
Well, thank you so much. I'll look forward to doing that.
All right. Jeff Merkley, congratulations and best wishes in Washington.
All right. Take care now.
The new Democratic senator from Oregon right there, Jeff Merkley, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll take a break and return in just a moment right here.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests, and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Time to paint your house and protect your investment. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate. Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani.
Join us Saturday
from 7 to 9 p.m.
for Good Vibrations Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships,
communication,
health,
and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations.
Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Good vibrations.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now, there's a lot going on out there. We have a traffic hazard at northbound Highway 1 just south of Light Fighter Road. A big branch is in lane number 2. On Rio Road at Highway 1, we have a two-vehicle accident with no injuries. CHP is on the scene. Moving on to Salinas, we've got a big rig causing a traffic hazard on Hartnell Road at Olisol Road. Now taking a look at the Hollister-Gilroy area, on the Route 9 on-ramp to southbound 101, there is a pedestrian sitting in the road. Watch out there. Now for some weather. Your forecast for the Central Coast tonight will be patchy low clouds and fog. Lows are going to be in the mid to upper 40. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have an especially beautiful afternoon and stay tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 24 minutes after the hour. Coming up about 10 minutes away, Scott Horton will join us. He writes for Harper's Magazine, and his cover story this month is Justice After Bush, Looking for Accountability.
I don't like music. You're a Hollywood
character. And if you don't mind, I'd like to just take a minute here to unload about Bluetooth. Bluetooth sucks. I have to tell you. Here in California, we have a law now that you can't talk on your cell phone without a wireless earpiece or, some kind of earpiece. You can't use the phone itself. So the damn thing is supposed to work, and I got a call just as I'm getting in the car this morning, so I'm trying to get the Bluetooth activated. And you activate the Bluetooth, it doesn't work, and then a phone call comes in, and you can't answer it on the phone because, well, it's routed to the Bluetooth, which isn't working. And so people think you're a technological moron. So if you're a friend of mine or somebody who knows me and you've recently called me and, I answer the phone and you either hear nothing or you hear a voice from across the room like this, Bluetooth. I hope they improve the technology because I'm ready to just throw it out the window and drive right over it. I want to share some encouraging information that I received last night. I was sitting in on Air America the last four nights for John Elliott. And by the way, next week, if you like to follow my antics, I will be on Air America weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 6 to 9 Pacific time, 9 to noon Eastern, on The Lionel Show. And we have one blockbuster guest that we've lined up that I can't announce yet, but we will as soon as it's in the clear. At any rate, last night on Air America, I talked with constitutional law professor Marjorie Cohn about California's Proposition 8, and I posed the simple question. Can voters change the Constitution to remove a right that was considered part of the Constitution until it was so amended? Marjorie Cohn responded that there is a very interesting difference between a revision to the Constitution and an amendment. And it appears that Proposition 8 is a revision, not an amendment. A revision requires not only that the ballot measure receive 50% plus one of the popular vote, but it has to be passed by a two-thirds vote of both houses of the legislature. That did not occur prior to the passage, and it's highly unlikely that it can occur after the passage. The Supreme Court may be able to throw out Prop 8 on that technicality. And then Marjorie Cohn said, remember Rose Byrd. Remember angry right-wing voters who held a Supreme Court recall here in California in the 1980s, took out Rose Byrd and two other justices, Reynoso and Cruz. No, Cruz Reynoso was his name. I can't think of the third justice's name. Maybe it was Grodin, Joseph Grodin. At any rate, that's the potential backlash down the road. But Professor Cohn believes that this court is likely to reject Proposition 8 on the basis that it is not an amendment, which requires only 50 plus one vote of the public, but it is a revision to the Constitution, and therefore needed to be submitted to both houses of the legislature and receive a two-thirds vote. I'm encouraged by this. We will watch the court action very closely, and we'll keep you posted on any developments as they occur. Coming up next, Scott Horton returns to our program. He's an attorney, an investigator, and he writes for Harper's Magazine. We're going to talk about justice for Bush after he leaves office. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
So just what are we supposed to do? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. What are we supposed to do, save or spend? We have to do something because as far as I can tell, we have exactly three healthy industries. Fast food, thanks to McDonald's, which has brought back the extremely delicious McRib. You have the Obama souvenir industry, because nothing says yes we can like his picture on your chest. And the gun industry, whose customers always manage to find something to be afraid of, the latest thing being that Barack Obama might ban guns. Beyond that, there's nothing. I think it's fair to say that all of us out here stand ready to do whatever it takes to prevent Great Depression 2.0, but we are getting mixed signals. For example, the bailout may have saved the banks, but everything else around the banks seems to be collapsing, like the auto industry. Now, nothing would help the auto industry more than if people bought cars. Car dealers are offering 0% interest. Some dealers will pay you $50 just to take a test drive. But wait, we've been told that 0% interest was what got us into this mess, that we're supposed to save. So we save. We save money in the bank, which normally would lend the money to people who want to buy cars. But they're not. So companies that finance cars are trying to redefine themselves as banks to be eligible for the federal bailout so they can lend the money the way the banks used to. Then the boat industry says, wait a minute, boat building creates jobs too. What about us? But who's going to buy a boat now? Would someone who knows what they're talking about tell us what to do? It almost makes you nostalgic for the old market economy when all you had to know was the price and has my credit card expired. Now this.
I'm Jim. Starting a construction business in this economy, you need every advantage you can get. That's why my accountant recommended Intuit QuickBooks. He said it's small business software that'll help me track every penny, money in, money out, so I always know what's going on. So I tried it, and turns out he hit the nail right on the head. I can see all my money in one place. That's good, because I'm building more than houses. I'm building my business.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross of the CBS Radio Network.
It's time for the 9th International Film Festival presented by the local United Nations Association with 14 excellent international documentary films, again at the gorgeous Golden State Theater in Monterey. There will be 4 film sessions, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings, November 13, 14, and 15 at 7 p.m., and Sunday afternoon, November 16 at 2 p.m. Admission is just $5 per day with free entry for full-time students. These outstanding films concern global issues like human rights, the environment, impacts of globalization, and security. From 15 to 90 minutes long and deal with countries and cultures as diverse as China, India, Bangladesh, New Guinea, Russia, Palestine, Argentina, and the U.S. Feature films include new documentaries, One Water, Stealing America Vote by Vote, The Judge and the General about Pinochet of Chile, and Fire Under the Snow about human rights in Tibet. That's November 13 to 16th. At the Golden State. More at unamontereybay.org.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has 2 locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated,
and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B's America.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger.
Yikes, McGee wrote this in 03.
He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Well, that song is headed for retirement. January 20th, we'll put that one to bed for hopefully, well, we might trot it out just for nostalgia purposes. But there are serious issues related to what I consider to be the crimes and unconstitutional behavior of George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, David Addington, and other members of this administration. What do we do about it? Scott Horton joins me now. He teaches law at Columbia Law School. He writes for Harper's Magazine, and we met him earlier this year because he was one of the people, along with Larissa Alexandrovna, detailing the saga of Don Siegelman, the former governor of Alabama, railroaded into federal prison by Karl Rove and friends. Scott, welcome back to our program today.
Hey, great to be with you, Peter.
Well, and I've gained appreciation for you and your work. You're also you have great expertise in history in the former Soviet Union and the Republic of Georgia. You're a guy with a lot of different interests.
Well, I get around.
Now, to the task at hand here, you've written what could be seen as an indictment. Justice After Bush, it's called, in the current issue of Harper's, subtitled Prosecuting an Outlaw Administration. And in it, you make the case that serious crimes have been committed. Let me lift a quote here. The Bush administration issued wartime contracts to substandard vendors with inside connections. It defunded efforts to police their performance. It spied on church groups and political protesters. It introduced a sweeping surveillance program that was so clearly illegal that virtually the entire senior echelon of the Justice Department threatened to, but did not in fact, tender their resignations. It waged an illegal and disastrous war, and it did so by falsely representing to Congress and the American public nearly every piece of intelligence it had on Iraq. And through it all, as if to underscore its contempt for any authority but its own, the administration issued more than 100 carefully crafted signing statements that raised pervasive doubt about whether the president would even accede to bills that he himself had signed into law. No prior administration has been so systematically or so brazenly lawless. Now, that is quite a set of charges here, and you detail here in the article that based on the history of Truth and Reconciliation Commissions, such as the ones in South Africa, that it's important to narrow the charges to deal with the most pressing issues and then to push forward with a full investigation to determine the extent of lawbreaking or other failings and to provide some form of accountability. Is that a fair summation?
That's right. And in fact, in that entire list of particulars, none of those are the things, in fact, I say at the end we should come to a focus on. I think the question of torture as the most important issue of lawlessness in this administration, the mistreatment of detainees and the war on terror, and there are three manifestations of that. There's the fact that these people were actually tortured. There is the creation of military commissions, which were politically rigged from the outset, as in fact some of the military judges have now virtually concluded in some of their opinions. And then finally, we have the process of extraordinary renditions, where detainees were sent abroad to other countries to be tortured, basically as our proxies.
Mm-hmm.
And those things, you know, Congress has been trying to investigate them, trying to ferret out what happened, the legal basis for what the administration did, without much success for 2 years now. And I think there's a pretty broad consensus now that this has got to be dealt with in a much more serious, systematic way that flushes out the truth. So that as a minimum, the American public knows exactly what it is that Bush and his administration did. And of course, we're now down to the last 60 days. The last 2 months of this administration, a little bit more than 60 days, I guess 65 today, isn't it?
Somewhere between 65 and 70. I don't have an accurate count.
Right. Well, there are a number of people who are keeping that countdown now.
To the second, yeah.
Right. And this is the period historically when presidents take their crack at pardons. Right. And it's usually the last few weeks when they take the politically most compromising decisions to pardon. So there's pretty broad speculation in Washington right now that Bush will leave office issuing a blanket pardon to all individuals who worked with him on the so-called torture program.
Mm-hmm. It can happen in the last 20 minutes, too. Ask Mark Rich and Bill Clinton.
Exactly right. In fact, George Washington launched that. The morning he left office, he signed a pardon for the instigators of the Whiskey Rebellion.
Huh. Wow. And it really makes me cringe to consider this prospect that Bush would, I mean, can he issue a pardon to every person he appointed?
Yes. The pardon power is granted in the Constitution. It's granted in very, very broad terms. There's only one limitation on it. That is that he can't grant pardons that would undermine or conflict with the impeachment process.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, there's really no limitation. And we have presidents who have given prospective and blanket pardons before. In fact, you think of Andrew Johnson, who gave a pardon to Southerners who rose during the Civil War, or Jimmy Carter, who gave a pardon to those who dodged the Vietnam War draft.
Mm-hmm. So, Scott Horton, as you look at this, you just mentioned that the only limitation on pardons is if there's an impeachment underway. And this is one of the cases that has been made by Dennis Kucinich and others who brought forward the law-breaking and unconstitutional behavior of Bush and his cabinet and appointees. And there has been some discussion that even in the lame duck session, impeachment could occur. But we have a problem, and her name is Nancy Pelosi. And if you'll indulge me, I've got a two-minute clip here. And Nancy Pelosi, just before the election, deigned to appear on public radio here in San Francisco. And the ground rules were such that the moderator of the program invited her opponent in the congressional race, Cindy Sheehan, onto the program, but with very limited role. They would only let her ask one question. And so you'll hear some of the jockeying that goes on. But when you hear Nancy Pelosi's response, I think you'll be floored, like I was.
We've got a caller here who I think may be familiar to you, Speaker Pelosi. It's Cindy Sheehan on the line.
Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Ms.
Good morning
Pelosi.
To you.
Nice to talk to you.
My pleasure.
Well, first you answered the question about the debate, which I think that if you really cared about the voters in San Francisco, you could find an hour to debate your opponents, because you do have some opponents here in San Francisco. You haven't had a town hall meeting.
Cindy Sheehan, you had a question you wanted to ask the speaker.
I do. Over 60% of this district in 2006 voted for an impeachment resolution, and I just want to know why you haven't represented the people of your district and why you haven't impeached George Bush and Dick Cheney, and you still have time.
All right. Thank you for that direct question.
Thank you, Cindy. First, may I commend Cindy for her race for Congress and, again, express the respect that I have for her courage in speaking out and what she believes in.
And let me just jump in, because the speaker is commending Cindy Sheehan for running against her, but it sounds like she's running in some other district. I found that curious.
Articulately. The issue of impeachment is a very controversial one in my own caucus and certainly in the country. The idea that if we disagree with the president, we should begin impeachment proceedings is one that is, again, controversial. There are those who believe they have the evidence that the president would be convicted if impeached. I don't know that we have seen that. I have said that the people who would like to see the president impeached the most are the Republicans. They would have loved to see the Democrats, as soon as we took power, go down the path of impeaching the president, dividing the country, and neglecting what we wanted to do on minimum wage and children's health and veterans' benefits and the rest of that, because it would have totally consumed the Congress. It is, again, controversial, but if I honestly believed that the president had violated the Constitution of the United States, and if my colleagues believe that, I think you would have seen the president impeached.
Now, it's curious there, three controversials, and then she hasn't seen the evidence, Scott Horton.
Well, that's pretty amazing, in fact, the standard, she says, that he's violated the Constitution, and public opinion polls show that two out of three Americans, including a majority of Republicans, believe that the president has violated the Constitution. I mean, there's very, very little doubt about that. That's a different standard from whether the violations are an impeachable offense, I think. In fact, John Conyers and his Judiciary Committee held a hearing on not on a resolution of impeachment, but a hearing on whether or not it would be appropriate to take up the impeachment question. And they had, I think, a total of seven witnesses come and testify, and they took some pretty compelling evidence of violations.
Well, and Bruce Fein, a principled Republican who was part of the Clinton impeachment team under Bob Barr, was one of those who testified. He's been a frequent guest on our program, and it's one of the areas, a few areas, where Bruce Fein and I are in strong agreement.
Well, that's right. In fact, I would say half of the people bringing the charges and pressing the issue are Republicans, and they're not pressing the charges for the tactical reasons that Congressman Pelosi suggests, but rather because they believe that he should be impeached, that he has committed impeachable offenses. And, you know, the signing statements, I think, a very, very clear-cut case. The run-up to the Iraq War, where there were conscious false statements made to Congress to secure resolutions and authorization to fight that war. It's another strong case. But I think the violations of the laws of war are very, very clear-cut. And as a matter of constitutional doctrine, there is simply no question but that a violation, a grave breach of the laws of war that occurs as a result of direction by the president is grounds for impeachment. In fact, this was counted amongst the bills of the bills of particulars that were charged against Charles I, the King of England. The reason for his removal, trial, and execution in England included. So that's part of our constitutional history, basically.
Scott Horton with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're joined by Dave from Eureka. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi is not stupid. She has to be aware, as we're all aware, this Bush and Cheney administration is guilty or certainly suspect of any number of impeachable capital offenses. And so what do we think is really driving her? Why does she block all efforts to investigate? Impeachment is an investigation. It's an allegation, but it's investigate the allegation. It's
not. Yeah, very well put, Dave. Scott, what's your reaction?
Well, that's right. I mean, I think that she is looking, as she's looking at the polling data, and she's trying to define her leadership in a way that maximizes Democratic gains at the polls on November 4th. And there's no doubt, in fact, that the Democrats were wildly successful. In fact, they had two striking, overwhelming victories against the Republicans back-to-back, 2006-2008. But I think, you know, it's a mistake for a leader in Congress to allow these sorts of electoral calculations to dictate their decisions on every issue. Principle has to stand for something, and the Constitution has to stand for something at the end of the day.
Well, and Scott, they use the phrase all campaign season, we're taking that issue off the table. FISA, the Fourth Amendment, we're taking that off the table. Well, excuse me. Leave them on the table, fight over them, and stand for principle. It will earn you more votes and more support. I think that's just a very clear connection that they whiffed on.
I think exactly. I feel exactly the same way. In fact, I have to admit that, you know, I don't really care that much for one political party or the other. I'm very concerned about our Constitution and upholding its principles. And I see them being betrayed almost with as much ease by the Democrats as by the Republicans. I think this is one of the big challenges we've got with Barack Obama now coming to the White House. He enters the White House at a time when more power has been vested in that office than any time in America's history. And is he going to recede from that power? Is he going to voluntarily give it up? Is he going to rearrange things so that Congress exercises its appropriate constitutional check? You know, I like Barack Obama, but I'm skeptical. You know, I want to see him, you know, I want to see him promise to do it and do it. And I'm not seeing the movement so far.
Scott Horton is with us. Read his powerful new article in the brand new issue of Harper's Magazine, Justice for Bush. I think it's a great idea. If you have a comment, you can call me now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, or email peter at peterbcollins.com.
Good afternoon, this is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Traffic is looking really great this afternoon for Monterey, Salinas, and Hollister-Gilroy. It's smooth sailing. We do have one accident in Santa Cruz on Soquel Drive at Sheridan Place. CHP is on the way there. For weather, the forecast for southern Salinas Valley tonight is clear. Lows will be in the mid-40s, north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday will be mostly sunny, highs in the 70s to lower 80s. Sunset is at 5 p.m. tonight. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great afternoon. Peter B. Collins will be right back.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain in your body. With six professionals, Cornerstone offers hormone balancing for men and women, all natural, no side effects. With our bodies filled with toxins and aches and pains, this approach works. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic neck pain for years. Trina Hammack uses a technique called quantum biofeedback, which to me is a miracle. I feel better and better each day, physically and mentally. Cornerstone offers lymphatic drainage, infrared saunas, ionic foot baths, massage, estheticians, and body strengthening specifically for your body so you'll start living pain-free naturally. Tired of taking medicine? Homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils are used. Finally, an alternative that works. Cornerstone Wellness Center, 1088 Cass Street, Monterey. Call today, 373-6204, 373-6204, or go to cornerstonewellnesscenter.com. Robin's Jewelry in Carmel is open every day for your holiday and gift shopping. Robin's Jewelry is one of a kind, unique, and stylish. She uses sterling silver and semi-precious stones and will customize a keepsake right there on the spot. Robin is a native Carmel artist and silversmith. She's located inside the Dowd Craft Studio at Ocean and San Carlos. Robin has a big selection of organic bling. Great jewelry that's affordable. With free engraving and gift wrapping, go to Robin's Jewelry in Carmel.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Cal State basketball will interrupt some of Good Vibrations Saturday, November 15th.
Good Vibrations.
7:30 to 9 p.m. Saturday.
On AM 540 KRXA.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown?
We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news.
Hey, hey, we're the Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections, run the country into the ground.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. The article is Justice After Bush, cover story in the brand new, that would be December, Harper's Magazine. Scott Horton is the author. And Scott, it's well written and well footnoted. And I was drawn to one item here that in appearances that you made on PBS and CNN, they gave you very strict guidance on the use of the term torture. And in particular, I guess it was PBS who said, well, you can say torture, but you can't link it to the policies of the Bush administration.
That's exactly right. You know, I was told by, in fact, by a CNN editor that, hey, this is not primetime stuff. We can't put this in the domestic feed. We don't want people to use that word in conjunction with the Bush administration's policies. Use words like highly coercive. and in fact, I think you could look during the same period of time on the pages of the New York Times, and you'd see the word torture used to describe the deafening sound of a neighbor's stereo system.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at people who are actually being tortured in Abu Ghraib, Bagram, and so on, you would see it described more clinically.
Enhanced interrogation techniques.
Enhanced interrogation techniques, exactly. Yeah.
Well, and they followed the Mukasey line, where they were reluctant to declare waterboarding torture. And in another footnote, you flatly quote Dick Armitage, the number two guy at defense, or no, state. He was Colin Powell's number two at state. And he actually submitted to waterboarding as part of his training. And he said, of course waterboarding is torture. I can't believe we're even debating it.
Well, that's right. And legally, there, notwithstanding my former partner, Michael Mukasey, there is no question. It is torture. And that he would sit before the Senate Judiciary Committee and insist that there's some sort of legal issue about it is fatuous. It's completely absurd. In fact, the U.S. has prosecuted people for waterboarding, and it has sought the death penalty of people who did it.
So you were in the same law firm with Judge Mukasey?
He was my partner, and we worked together for many years, in fact.
Wow. That must be quite an eye-opener to see him perform under the Bush light.
It has not been a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, well. Let's take some calls. Stephen Salinas for Scott Horton. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I think one of the reasons Pelosi won't get on the impeachment bandwagon is because she could be considered complicit in a whole bunch of the stuff that went on. I can't believe that she didn't know about the spying. And my feeling is that she knew about the spying but couldn't say anything about it because that would make her look weak on terrorism.
Well, and
a whole bunch of stuff was going on and did nothing about it.
All right, Steve, you have a great point there. But, Scott, to what extent is she bound by the, her security clearances and top-secret promises? When
well,
she
I'll
was
tell
briefed,
you.
For example, on the domestic wiretapping program, did she have any way of going public on that?
Well, I think the caller's got a very good point. I mean, in fact, we have a number of Republicans saying that if there's an investigation of this, they want Nancy Pelosi investigated, too. Nancy Pelosi is a member of the Gang of Eight, you know, the eight congressional leaders who did receive these regular briefings. But your point, Peter, is also correct. That is, they got this stuff subject to very, very tight security limitations. They weren't permitted to go out and discuss what they learned by way of the briefings. But on the other hand, there isn't any, and by the way, let me say, we don't know how much information they actually got in these briefings.
Right.
And Jane Harman and several others have said, you know, that they, in fact, did not know a lot of things, that they learned more in the newspapers than they got from these briefings. So we got to get to the bottom of this. I think, you know, but one thing I'll say is, you know, I didn't see any resolute leadership coming out of Nancy Pelosi opposing this after the fact.
Right. Yeah. Susan in Soquel, welcome to the program with Scott Horton.
Yes, hi. Well, I think the last caller sort of made my point. I was also thinking what a cultural thing it is, too, for Italians to always kind of bring things to a place of simpaticoism, you know, because there's that, you know, underlying theme, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine and we won't talk about this stuff. So there might be that cultural thing as well. But I'm curious why, I mean, I can understand why you've picked torture as your main thing, but, you know, Bush is out there right now doing war, invading countries, you know, laterally with no assent from Congress. Or any of us, and don't you think that's also impeachable?
Well, let me just raise this as an addendum. Is our cross-border raid into Syria equivalent to the bombing of Laos and Cambodia by Nixon, Scott Horton?
No, I don't know.
I think historically there's no question but that the way the president exercises his commander-in-chief authority on the international scene, particularly in waging war, can be held to account through the impeachment mechanism. So, you know, the founding fathers envisioned that specifically. They saw it as a mechanism. And I think we also have to say that, you know, we come to a point in this process where, you know, the impeachment mechanism itself is political. That is, if Congress disagrees with what the president's doing, they can threaten, they can cut the spigot of money, and ultimately they can commence an impeachment process to remove the president from office. So, you know, it's a possibility. You know, I think Iraq, of the things he's done, is the one thing that's very, very clearly impeachable. You know, having a repost or a raid across borders, as occurred in Syria, or launching Predator drones in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, that's people may think tactically it's not a smart move,
right,
but it's not a sustained act of war making either.
Scott Horton, thank you very much. The article is Justice After Bush in the December Harper's. Thanks, Scott.
Great to be with you.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. TARP, the $700 billion troubled asset reduction plan, won't be used to buy the troubled assets of banks.
Our assessment at this time is that this is not the most effective way to use TARP funds.
Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson made the announcement today. He said the best way to revive the credit system is to keep buying stock in banks and other financial institutions. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason has more.
The Treasury Secretary's original bailout plan called for buying up toxic mortgage investments. But the situation got so bad so fast, the government bought shares directly in the banks instead. Today, Paulson made it official. The government won't buy up those bad assets after all.
Banks have received billions from the government already, but CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson says it's hard to know where it's gone.
We decided to ask the banks what they're doing with the money. We talked to the nine biggest recipients who pointed out there's nothing in the bailout law that requires them to disclose specifics. We do know from public information at least four of the banks are using bailout funds to merge with or take over other banks.
Congressman Barney Frank, who chairs the House Financial Services Committee, is drafting a bill to lend $25 billion to U.S. automakers.
I think it would be a disaster economically in a bad situation to have the auto companies go bankrupt.
Democratic leaders will push for passage when Congress reconvenes next week, but will President Bush go along?
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. The Bush administration has a terse response to any calls to help the auto industry with money from the $700 billion financial rescue program.
We don't think that that was Congress's intent.
Press Secretary Dana Perino urged Congress to help car makers with loans from an existing program to develop fuel-efficient vehicles. Detroit's congressional friends, though, favor a more sweeping effort to help the industry that's feeling the effects of the sour economy.
The Treasury Department's shift in strategy and more reports on sagging corporate earnings sent the stock market lower again today. The Dow fell 411 points to 8282. Art Hogan is chief market analyst at Jefferies & Company.
We've priced in a lot of bad news in this market. We just have to figure out how much more is in front of us and how much of it's behind us.
If you were counting on seasonal work to carry you through the holidays, think again. CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan reports.
More people are out of work and retailers are cutting holiday hiring.
Fewer jobs with more people chasing after them.
Outplacement specialist John Challenger says demand for these jobs is so keen, applicants need to stand out.
It's important to be cheerful and upbeat, be the kind of person who would provide good customer service.
Conrad Szymanski knows firsthand. He runs a big outlet chain in Florida.
We're seeing dramatic applicant flows in certain areas, particularly hit hard by the housing downturn.
Steve Kathan, CBS News.
The NASDAQ dropped 81 points today, closing at 14.99. The price of oil took another steep dip, down $3 to $56.16 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Time to go shop, shop till you drop. Traffic's a mess, has me distressed. No need to pout, Nuvi will reroute. Sale ends at 2, Nuvi gets me through. Miss traffic jam, Nuvi has a plan. No standing still, back road's a thrill. Look for the T on the Nuvi navigation tool. Even saves you fuel. Give a, give a, give a, give a Garmin. Give a, give a, give a, give a Garmin. Nuvi with a T puts your mind at ease. Garmin.com, Garmin.com. Traffic data not available in all areas.
A wine is only as good as the vineyards it comes from. Now for Cabot, America's favorite Pinot Grigio, that means grapes grown in the foothills of Italy's Dolomite Alps. And while many great wines come from California, when it comes to Pinot Grigio, the best comes from Italy. There you'll find the perfect growing conditions for creating the award-winning Cabot Collection, where Cabot Pinot Grigio gets its crisp, light taste and full fruit flavors. So when you're looking for truly exceptional wine, choose the Cabot Collection.
The number one Italian wine in America, Cabot. Elevating life. Bombay International, Boca Raton, Florida.
When a hit show ends its run, an actor might find another part, or he might find a way to capitalize on his character's fame. CBS News correspondent Dave Barrett has one such story.
Remember Paulie Walnuts from The Sopranos? Good grooming's always been a must for him.
I'm having good luck with Swiss Basics moisturizing formula. Yeah, try it.
Now actor Tony Sirico's come out with his own fragrance, Palo Peruomo. The New York Post took a bottle of it to Times Square. One woman says it reminds me of a hard night. Another said it's powerful. If you put it on, you have to air yourself out. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
Sirico says the secret ingredient in his cologne is cognac. The man behind the wheel of a beer truck was arrested on suspicion of drunken driving after it overturned in Wheat Ridge, Colorado. Police say 56-year-old Bobby Dodge took a highway exit ramp too fast. The entire 45,000-pound load had to be removed so the trailer could be lifted upright. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Prices are up. The cost of running your business is up. Everything's up, except your marketing budget. So what's a small business to do? Email marketing to your current customers with ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get professional-looking email newsletters that keep your customers coming back. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial with plans as low as $15 a month. So even if the economy's down, your sales don't have to be. Put your marketing on the upswing with ConstantContact.com.
Smart is as smart invests. That's why the smart money is now in CDs, and there's no smarter CD than the one from GMAC Bank. Now get a 12-month CD at a 4.36 annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. Show off your CD smarts. Grow your money while protecting it from market fluctuations. Go to GMACBank.com or call 1-866-246-BANK. Open a CD with as little as $500 and start reaping the benefits. GMAC Bank. Smart. Simple. Safe. Member FDIC.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I can't find that on the radio. Y'all turn to that station.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for turning to this station.
The world is collapsing around our ears. I turned up the radio. I can't hear it. When I got to the house and I called you out, you could tell you'd have been crying.
It's the PBC show on your radio. This is the Free Speed Zone, where your calls and comments are welcome on any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Lines open right now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-383-8372. We may be joined sometime this hour by Josh Silver, the leader of the group Free Press, a media reform group. And one of the things that I want to talk with him about, we're trying to track him down. We've got some phone number snags. But I want to talk with him about two things, about fleeting expletives on radio and TV, and also about the prospect of a return of the fairness doctrine. And it looks like Katrina's reached Josh Silver, and we'll get him here on the air in just a moment. In terms of fleeting expletives, we talked the other day about Joe Scarborough's remarkable drop of an F-bomb on MSNBC, and he was completely unconscious of it. The tittering and guffaws from his colleagues, Mike Barnicle and others who were on the set with him, really left him confused. And it was clear he was operating in his own mind, in his own world, and he dropped the F word. It was not intentional. And he, once it was pointed out to him, he immediately apologized for it. Joe Scarborough is still working for NBC and MSNBC. But there's another case here in California. There's a talk show host by the name, he goes by a solo name, Carell. He lives in Los Angeles, and for the last few years, he's been working weekends and late nights on the powerhouse out of San Francisco, KGO. He does his show from, I think, his home or a studio in L.A. via what we call ISDN. And apparently, during a break, when Carell did not believe he was on the air, he cut loose with some salty language to his producer or engineer, and it was inadvertently broadcast. A listener has informed me that KGO has terminated Carell. I tried to call them, and I went to their website. I cannot confirm that he's been terminated, but on the website, he is no longer listed on their schedule. And so the question arises, is this a double standard? When the Carell thing was clearly a slip when he did not believe he was on the air, and it was a technical slip more than the talent slip. And here's Joe Scarborough, who just blurts it out in the middle of morning television, and, well, he's still employed, and his fleeting expletive is now just a joke. Josh Silver joins us now from Free Press. They work to reform the media. How are you, Josh?
I'm good. How are you, Peter?
Just don't say you're effing great, okay?
I will do.
It's interesting to see the colloquy at the Supreme Court over fleeting expletives, because this case is now before the justices, and it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. But what is your position at Free Press about the regulation of language in the media, and in particular, this obsession about fleeting expletives?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, Peter. It really is. In fact, it's in some ways it's an issue not unlike some wedge issues like gay marriage and abortion rights. It's tricky. A lot of people don't realize that actually the broadcast networks are required to not air profanities before 10 p.m., so in the primetime hour. But actually after 10 p.m., the rules loosen substantially, and they can get away with a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, we generally side on the lax side of this. We believe that the failure of the media to the mainstream corporate media to provide the kind of hard-hitting journalism and the kind of accountability of corporations and government has done a whole heck of a lot more damage to our country than fleeting expletives. So we tend to leave it alone, although we do agree with the rules which keep foul language off of prime time.
Well, I don't object to having rules and standards. My issue, you know, I think there's a difference between a shock jock who drops the F-bomb or, you know, alludes to it. There are a lot of different ways that clever people have come up with to say frickin' or flippin' or those kinds of things. And everybody translates it in their minds. They know what it means, but it skirts the law because it's not an exact enunciation of one of the Carlin words. So when people intentionally do it, and when management instructs shock jocks to shock people, and, hey, just do whatever it takes and don't get caught, then we've seen the rules change where now the individual performers can be fined themselves up to $350,000. And I find that really chilling on free speech, and a slip of the tongue could cost somebody like me not only my job but my house, too. And so I think we need to put some rationale and balance back into this. And to me, an inadvertent slip is something that should not be prosecuted.
I absolutely agree. And, probably the most important point about this is, and a lot of people don't realize this,
The government actually does not have any right to regulate, legal right to regulate cable TV. And a lot of people are upset about that, especially those concerned about profanity. But the reason why you're not hearing about a big legal case around Joe Scarborough is that because MSNBC is not using a government-granted broadcast license for over-the-air use, they don't have to follow any of those rules. The reason that, the government has to crack down on profanity over the airwaves, or broadcast television and radio, is because those media companies are using or leasing a broadcast license from the government, and in exchange for the use of those public airwaves, they have to abide by the profanity rules.
Okay. Now, that same license used to require them to present balanced views on public affairs and controversial programming. It was called the Fairness Doctrine. And Josh Silver, this is something that even the discussion of it causes conservatives in this country to reach for their microphones and try to clutch them with their cold fingers. But it's fascinating to see that there is a preemptive strike underway from the right. They presume that if Henry Rivera returns to the Federal Communications Commission, he was on the commission in the 80s and resigned in protest of the repeal of the Fairness Doctrine, that if he comes back either as a member or as chair, that automatically they're going to regulate the right wing off the, in particular, off radio. Now, we're outnumbered 9-1, right to left, in talk radio today. And so I think we do need a mechanism to rebalance the media. What is your preferred approach, up to and including the Fairness Doctrine, to try to come up with a formula of trying to promote diversity of speech and viewpoints on radio and television in the U.S.?
Well, first of all, the notion that any Democrat in Washington is going to try to reinstate the Fairness Doctrine is about as true as the allegation that Barack Obama is going to raise taxes for the poor people. The fact is that no Democrat in Washington who is in power and is in, is serious about these issues is proposing to reinstate the Fairness Doctrine, because sadly, for progressives, it's simply not going to hold up legally in the courts. It's a long, complex story that I won't get into here, but suffice to say, trust me, the courts would rule it out because of free speech issues. So what that leaves us with is the reality, you mentioned it, that progressives are outgunned 9-1 on the radio, and we see a very high disproportionate ratio of consolidated radio companies, those owned by companies that own many, many stations, are disproportionately right-wing, as opposed to more of the independently owned stations are more progressive. And the fact that the business owners that make a lot of money owning radio and TV stations and newspapers, for that matter, their politics, because they're wealthy, their politics tend to lean to the right. They want less taxes. They want less regulation of government. Their business interests are served by the Republican Party better than the Democratic Party. Sumner Redstone, the owner of CBS parent Viacom, who is a lifelong Democrat, famously said several years ago, "Well, you know, I've always been a Democrat, but I'm going to vote for George Bush, and we have to do George Bush's good footwork because he's better for Viacom." And that's the problem that pervades the media, and it really does leave progressives and those people who are fed up with the right-wing noise machine scratching their heads trying to figure out the best solution.
And, Josh, really, I have it right here, and I'm willing to share it with you.
Go ahead.
I think we need to reinvigorate the license renewal process and require a licensee to show, in order to get another 5 or 6 years of the license for that radio or television station, that they will not only offer a single viewpoint. They have to prove, to get their license renewed, that they offered a diverse range of views over the course of the preceding license period. That simple.
It's a tough one. I mean, it's kind of, that's sort of a Fairness Doctrine light, and it's very, very tough to actually enforce. I mean, keep in mind, broadcasters are already forced, for example, on television, to broadcast 3 hours of educational programming per week. I know it's nothing, but and we're currently seeing television stations routinely report Looney Tunes and NFL Under the Helmet as the programs they broadcast to meet those requirements. One of the things that really needs to happen is that broadcast licenses need to, new ones need to be issued from the Federal Communications Commission, and it is possible, and that people who care about journalism and want to get out alternative voices are going to have to get those licenses and get on the air or buy stations. There's not a whole lot of other options. Now, there is one other promising thing happening, and that is that in January, when Barack Obama assumes the White House, he is going to, you're going to see the current Republican chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, the agency that oversees the media,
mm-hmm.
Kevin Martin. He's going to leave, and when he leaves, there's going to be a time when one of the two Democrats, either Jonathan Adelstein or Michael Copps at the FCC, will assume the interim chairmanship of the agency.
Mm-hmm.
Both are really good guys. They have stood up staunchly against consolidation of media ownership, staunchly for universal high-speed internet deployment around the country, and both of them have said that they are going to toughen up the broadcast license renewal process, as you say. They're going to change it so that you don't just send in a postcard to get your renewal. They're going to change it so rather than happening every 8 years as it currently is, it'll revert back to the way it used to be, where media companies have to get their broadcast license renewed every 3 years. So there is some promising development there.
Well, Josh, thank you for the update. I want people to go to freepress.net and see what you're up to at Free Press. Josh Silver is co-founder and the executive director of Free Press. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Peter.
Coming up next, your phone calls. Let me know what you think. Do we need a fairness doctrine? How do we balance the media in this country? I want to hear your views. And lines are open now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire Cornucopia Landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures, serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. I hope you guys are all doing really great this afternoon. Traffic is looking pretty beautiful. We do have one trouble spot, though, in Santa Cruz on Soquel Drive at Sheridan Place. There is an accident with no injuries, and CHP is on the scene. I hope you guys all enjoy your commute. Take a look at weather right now. Monterey is 57 and mostly cloudy. Salinas is 67 and clear. And Santa Cruz is coming in at 64 degrees and clear. Tonight is mostly clear, and lows will be in the mid-40s. Have a great evening. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Keep it tuned to KRXA and the Peter B. Collins Show.
On the Peter B. Collins Show. Got one line open here for the free speech zone at 888-5 Peter B. Our music of the moment's from Jackson Brown. It's called Information Wars. Sounds like the theme for the O'Reilly Factor.
The heartbeat of America.
And to your calls, Mike and Aptos, thanks for dialing the Peter B. Collins Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, about the Carell thing. Yeah, I was listening to KTL last night, and they did a couple hours on one of the evening shows. He's definitely gone, and he was actually on at the beginning of the 7 o'clock hour. But there was more to it than just him saying the F word. They also caught him off air saying that Joe the Plumber should kill Joe the Plumber.
Oh,
what he said, and that seems to be more the reason that they, especially right, it was a couple of days before the election. It was the Sunday before the election.
Well, I have a general rule that I don't criticize other talk show hosts, so I'll put it this way: Carell has issues with impulse control.
Yeah. He used to multitask. I mean, he used to do the radio show while doing a chat show, while doing a video stream, and, you know, so I could easily see how he would get mixed up on when something was turned on or not.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, anyway, thank you for the detail. I didn't know about the Joe the Plumber threat. That's certainly out of bounds. But yeah. Again, if it was an expression off the air, what exactly is he being held accountable for? I mean, I've said a lot of scurrilous things off the air, and I'm pretty good about knowing when the microphone's on.
I think they were looking for a reason, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I've been there, and I've given them the reason. So thank you, Mike. Yeah. Appreciate it. Also in Aptos, Ed. Welcome, Ed. You're on the air.
Greetings.
Hi.
Hey, a couple of things. I was wondering, while you're on Air America, how can we listen in?
Well, you can listen on the stream at airamerica.com.
Oh, okay. Air America has a stream then, huh?
That's right. And I'll be on all next week, Monday through Friday, from the 6 to 9 a.m. hour.
Well, I'm toot my own horn. I'm going to be hobnobbing with Lionel, so hopefully I'll be hobnobbing with Lionel.
Oh, you're going on the cruise.
Amen.
Yeah.
So I'm maybe I'll put out a blog, but I've never blogged before, so I...
Well, it's easy. You just use your thumbs.
That was one of the things I was going to bring up, and I wanted to discuss with the assembled multitude, is that about the fair... Not the fairness doctrine, but getting more progressive radio to the American public.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've driven across country, and once you get out of a progressive radio area, it's a wasteland. I mean, Rush Limbaugh will be on three different stations within that broadcast.
Sure.
It's just maddening.
Yeah. I may have told you this story before, but I went up to Sacramento once to testify on some criminal justice bills that were before the legislature. And this one member of the assembly, a woman, looked at me and said, well, before we get to that, let me ask you, why is Rush Limbaugh on every radio station on the dial?
like you had any control of
it. Right, yeah, and I could fix it for her.
Well, hopefully they'll have some. I don't know what the format or anything of the cruise will be, but it'll. It's sure going to be a hell of a lot more fun that Obama has won than if it we had to pay our money up front. So
yeah, that would have been a real desolation cruise if McCain and Palin had won the election.
Yes.
Or even if the election were unknown at this point, and you know we were into a 2000 extendo kind of election.
Right. I'll try to get a little feedback to you on it. So anyhow, I can Skype, I guess, from the ship. I think it has.
All right. See if you can call in. I'd love to talk to you from the cruise.
But the one thing about the cruise is they charge an exorbitant amount of money to use the internet there. So I might have to coordinate so you can get me on and off quickly.
Okay, Ed. Thanks for the call. Good to talk to you. We'll take more of your calls right after a break here. The Free Speech Zone is available to you. The First Amendment, still in full effect. We just checked. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Yeah, years ago I stopped in town to visit my parents, and I came in unannounced. My parents are retired. I had these like ideas of, you know, they would be like sort of, I don't know where I got this idea. They're wonderful folks. They're just good old-fashioned World War II blue-collar folks. And I just had this idea that maybe when my dad retired like a decade ago, they would become some sort of crazy NPR parents, you know, and, you know, get like a Fromers or Let's Go Nepal book and go hiking and bird watching and whatnot. And it didn't quite turn out that way. I came back from a gig in Sacramento, and I passed through an announced one afternoon, and they were sitting there on the couch eating Cheetos and watching Mannix reruns. And I just figured, now it's their time to disappoint me, apparently, is what, yeah.
That's Johnny Steele. I'm Richard Stockton with a minute from the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
With summer pretty much over, the days are getting shorter, but that doesn't mean your runs have to. This is Adam at Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz. Stop in the store and check out our fall and winter gear. We've got bright, reflective nightlife accessories and plenty of warm, soft winter apparel. Stick to your usual running and walking routine. Don't let the changing seasons slow you down. We'll have a nighttime run series with free gear for runners and walkers, and we've got plenty of advice on how to be safe and warm. Get on our newsletter list and drop in for more info. As always, we offer a free gait analysis to find the best shoe for you. Stop by Central Coast Running and let us keep you going this fall.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today on ABC's The View, Elizabeth Hasselbeck and Sherry Shepard both incorrectly suggested that without Proposition 8, a California ballot measure to eradicate gay marriage, members of the clergy who refuse to perform same-sex marriages could be prosecuted.
The precedent, I think in Sweden there was a church, a priest who was jailed and I think since then released, but he was put in jail for not wanting to perform a marriage to a gay couple. So then they put him in jail because the law stated that you could not discriminate based on sexual preference, I believe.
However, regardless of the Proposition 8 amendment, under California law, no religion would be required to change its practices with regard to same-sex marriage. But the most ridiculous comment of the day goes to talk radio host Jim Quinn.
gay sex produces AIDS, they should charge homosexuals more for their health insurance than they charge the rest of us.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come listen to the new Jennifer Cruz Show, Saturdays at noon, where we will get into it, I-N-T-U-I-T. We'll talk about intuition, emotions, and passions, all the invisible aspects of each and every one of us that nobody talks about. The Jennifer Cruz Show is made possible by Weiland Galleries in Carmel and Water Me Well Inner Healing Apparel. Visit watermewell.com. See you Saturdays at noon on the new Jennifer Cruz Show. Remember, Saturdays at noon, only on AM 540. Get into it.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're partial to progressive politics and electric guitars. Rocking through the free speech zone today. Your calls and comments, welcome. I got a couple of lines open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And a couple of people who listen online to the stream outside the United States have asked how they can call in because the 888 toll-free number doesn't work from outside of the continental United States. And if you want to jot this down, I'll give you the number that you can call. Now, you have to pay the charges for it. But a lot of people have cool calling plans, and so you don't care about that. The direct number to call is 415-455-0102. 415-455-0102. And you can call that from anywhere, but you'll pay for it. Call me from Canada or New Zealand or Costa Rica, and you'll be able to get through easily. And maybe next time I think about it, I'll post it on the website to make it easier for people to find. 888-5-PETER-B puts you through, and Scott's on the line from Monterey. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Peter. How are you? This is Scott.
I'm doing fine.
Hey, I have just a couple of comments. I find it deeply ironic that the guy who advocates using torture on suspects, who suborns people, that's Anthony Scalia from the Supreme Court, who talks about how it's okay maybe to slap around or use torture to get information, finds that the broadcasters have responsible for coercing America.
Well, you know, Justice Scalia is a man of many contradictions, Scott.
Yeah, it's not only ironic, I find it also deeply offensive that he can talk about Jack Bauer in 24 and the fact that it should be okay to torture a suspect, but broadcasters and the F word and the S word are responsible for the course of America. It's the kind of thing that makes me crazy.
Yeah. Well, it really shows how petty that many conservatives are, where they consider this kind of speech and, for example, same-sex marriage to impinge on their moral views. And it's very easy for people who find something offensive to turn off the radio, to change the channel on the TV. And we've seen it get to the preposterous level that stations were unwilling to run Saving Private Ryan, the combat film that has, lots of coarse language that occurs in such a situation. And to sanitize that while putting the pictures on of combat. Okay, we can watch people, in a very violent situation and consume that as entertainment. But if they say the F word or others that are on the 7 Carlin word list,
right,
then those stations are subject to being fined. And they couldn't even get the FCC to rule in advance and to say, oh, Saving Private Ryan, that's okay. You can put that on television and you don't have to bleep it.
And, Peter, there's a scene there where a man's arm is blown off and he reaches down and he picks it up and then he's killed immediately because he's standing. and that's based on a true anecdote from D-Day landings. And it's the kind of horror in war that Americans should see. And I can't imagine people saying, oh, gosh, you know, did you see those guys right in front of us? It just is, it's a fantasy of, I guess, the religious right, because the same kind of language is completely tolerated, for example, in Germany, because they didn't have a Victorian era.
Well, and it's as if all the language has to meet a Gomer Pyle standard to be broadcast on American television.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I share your pain there, Scott, and we are living in these times where there is repression, and we're repressing the wrong things, in my opinion.
Yeah, thanks, Peter.
All right, Scott, good to hear from you today. 888-5-PETER-B, Dave on the line from Humboldt. Hello, Dave, you're on the air.
Hey, Peter B., this is Dave Berman from the We Do Not Consent blog.
Good to hear from you, Dave.
Thank you. I came across a suggestion for media reform recently. I don't remember exactly where, but I won't take credit for this. I think it's a solid idea. And it's that no media company or parent company of a media company should be allowed to have any government contract at all.
Hmm. Well, that's really interesting. That would take General Electric out of the nuclear weapons business.
Exactly. Exactly. So you wouldn't be in the position of having, you know, General Electric being a war profiteer, and then NBC, which is owned by General Electric, being a cheerleader for war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, given the composition even of the new Congress and even with a new president going into the White House, I consider that prospect remote, Dave.
Well, like I said, it's just an idea.
Yeah, it's a good one. And, in a progressive America, we'd be able to debate that and propose it and even try to pass it. But, with blue dog Democrats like your Congressman Mike Thompson, and with Nancy Pelosi as Speaker, who is not responding to her own progressive urges and inner thoughts, I'm pretty pragmatic about this stuff, and I don't want to heighten people's expectations, particularly at this time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were mentioning about how the new composition of the FCC might, allow for a new direction. I mean, what about promoting this idea through that channel?
Well, that's what I've been trying to do, is get activists to put forward ideas of re-regulating the Federal Communications Commission, and in particular, the licensing process for radio and television. Just as one example, Dave, do you know that in the last 8 years, they gave two television broadcasters, the incumbent licensees, free spectrum to move to the digital standard that takes effect in February of the coming year? And they gave it to them for free. They then auctioned off the old spectrum, where Channel 2 through 13 is right now, mm-hmm. and got $20 billion for it. All right? Mm-hmm. That's just one estimate of the giveaway to broadcasters. And what did they give back? Well, they gave us the debates this year that were focused on trivial issues instead of really discussing the matters that Americans care most about. And they gave us, the coverage of the presidential campaign this year that was focused on gotcha and who said what and who slimed who and let's bring out Bill Ayers again. And so you kind of see the outlines here of how these things operate.
Yeah, what I'd really love to see is just no corporate licensees at all. The airways belong to the public. Let's keep it that way.
That would be nice. Dave, thank you very much. Good to hear from you today. 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to call into the program, I'd love to hear from you. We learned that the New York Times edition for July 4th of 2009 hit the streets yesterday. 1.2 million copies were handed out. Excuse me, it was this morning, Wednesday morning, in New York. Headline blaring, Iraq War Ends. Articles described a nation turned hard left, nationalized oil companies, a maximum wage law, the enactment of national health insurance, Bush indicted for treason, and evangelical churches providing sanctuary for Iraqi refugees. And some people said, gosh, it's not April Fool's Day, that's in April. But we have learned that a group called the Yes Men have confided to a British newspaper that they are responsible for this. Oh, they confided to the BBC. So where do we find this? Where can people find this, Katrina? Oh, it's at the New York Times itself. Now, that's pretty cool. When the Times publishes a spoof about the Times. So if you go to NewYorkTimes.com, it's in the art section of Wednesday's newspaper if you'd like to check that out. More of your calls now at 888-5-PETER-B. It's Anthony in Eureka. Hello, Anthony. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Peter B. Collins. I'm so glad you got your sponsorship.
Well, we're hanging in there, Anthony. We're taking it one day at a time, but we're still on the air.
You bet. Now, you know, we could talk about a definition of democratic socialism or the impeachment of the Bushies, but I want to talk about Proposition 8, Peter, right now.
All right.
This is not anecdotal evidence. They took down our signs faster than I could put them up.
Mm-hmm.
Who did that? The Mormons, the Catholics, and the evangelical Protestants. Now listen, Peter B. You know what they're doing? The nerve, as a Pill poet, the nerve, the gall, the effrontery, as a Pill poet, a new word, the effrontery, the nerve these patriarchs got that they can mate a 50-year-old man with a 14-year-old woman and yet tell, deny a human right to same-sex marriage. Now,
well, Anthony, let me stop you there because you're taking an extreme fringe, unsanctioned group of Mormons and generalizing about the entire Mormon community. So I don't think that's fair, frankly.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you, Peter B. This is a theological matter. I'm very, very smart. The nerve of these people. And what do you call that? Is that called a statutory rape? Jeff Jeffries. The nerve of these people. You say, they say, all the Elizabethans, or just another cult, and you go to hell. All these sects. Hey, listen. The nerve of these patriarchs to try to get 16 vestal virgins while they're on planet Earth versus the Muslims who want to get 66 vestal virgins after committing a suicide in the afterlife. The nerve of these human beings. And then they stone a 12-year-old young woman because she was raped by three patriarchs. It's a theological problem, and I want to recommend to you, Peter B. Collins, the film Religulous.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet, and I want to, and I certainly will. Anthony, thank you for your comments today. Appreciate your call. Now to Tars in Arcata, listening on KGOE. Hello, Tars.
Oh, hi, Peter. Just a quick note. Glad you're surviving.
We're hanging in there. Didn't get our federal bailout, but a lot of people came through to help, and I appreciate it.
I listen to you religiously.
Thank you.
And that was a great newspaper. I'd love to read it one day.
Well, it's online at the New York Times. Go to the arts section.
Quick comment on the GM possible help. I'd recommend that all your listeners watch the DVD, Who Killed the Electric Car?
Mm-hmm.
I was so enthralled by it, I actually bought it, and I watch it regularly. It's got a great bit of history on GM. And possible, if there is a bailout or a help for GM, I'd like to see some real hooks in that fact. In other words, that the government has input towards what they're going to do.
Well, I'd like to see that, too. It remains to be seen how the Democrats will frame a package. And we have the continuing issue of the Detroit and Michigan delegation, including a very powerful long-term Congressman John Dingell and the senators Stabenow and Levin, who continue to back Detroit, even its bad judgment and the way it has backed itself into this financial corner. And so it's going to be very interesting to see if we end up with just another package that preserves the status quo. And the worst case to me would be if we as taxpayers give General Motors up to $25 billion so they can swallow up Chrysler, grab the $11 billion in cash there, and then pick the company apart for parts. Dismantling the labor force and essentially just cherry-picking what might be of value. And so I think it's a very dicey situation. And I hope that Congress can come in with a package that will require General Motors to hit some key benchmarks. They've got to produce new cars quickly and get that Chevy Volt, the plug-in hybrid, out there on the streets this year, not next year, or some year to be named later in the future. We also need to require that they honor their current labor contracts and commit to no further layoffs for at least a foreseeable future, so that we can see what our infusion of cash does and if it actually does stabilize the industry. But we also have to be careful, because if these companies are so far gone that they are ultimately going to roll into bankruptcy no matter what we do, then I think we need to be prudent and not just say, oh, bailout? Sure. Here, Detroit, how much do you need?
Well, yeah, ditto on all that. But I need to keep working, and I appreciate your time. But if you could, you could just impress on people to watch that DVD, because it'll just blow your mind. I talk to everybody who comes into my business here. A lot of them haven't heard about it. Mm-hmm. They didn't know that car was around.
Right.
And they could get this car off the ground inside about 30 months.
You're right. Tars, thank you very much. Go back to work now, and thanks for listening and dialing into the Peter B. Collins Show today. And I have a quick quiz before we end the program today. I have for you, and after the break, I'm going to give you the Secret Service code names that have been assigned to the president-elect, his family, and the vice president and his wife. And my quick quiz question is, what is George W. Bush's Secret Service code name? It's not POTUS, okay? That's a generic term. But what is his Secret Service code name? If you know that, call me right now, 888-5-PETER-B, and I've got a DVD to give to the first correct caller who knows George W. Bush's Secret Service code name. That's straight ahead right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Cal State basketball will interrupt some of Good Vibrations Saturday, November 15th.
Good Vibrations.
7:30 to 9 p.m. Saturday.
On AM 540 KRXA.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in Santa Cruz, on Graham Hill Road at Sims Road, we have an accident with an ambulance responding. CHP is on the way. I'm checking the boards, and all other traffic is looking pretty clear this evening, so enjoy your ride. In weather tonight, we'll have mostly patchy, low clouds in some areas, and other areas are going to be pretty clear. Right now, Monterey is 57 and overcast, Salinas is 62 and clear, and Santa Cruz is 63 and clear. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a fantastic evening. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Oh.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
B2B Collins Show on the home stretch. Almost time to wrap it up.
I've been watching you for days now, baby. I just love your sexy ways now, baby. You know my love will never stop now, baby. Just put your love in my heart now, baby. Wrap it up. I'll take it.
Now, before we wrap it up, somebody's got to correctly guess George W. Bush's Secret Service code name. I can tell you that Dick Cheney's is Angler, as in fisherman. And Tom Seaborn from KGOE emailed in, is it Snowflake? And if so, why do I know that? Well, the answer is no, and I don't know. So if you want to take a stab at it, you got to call in the next 3 or 4 minutes, 888-5-PETER-B. And I have a DVD of Burning the Future, Coal in America, that we'll pass along to somebody who can successfully name G.W. Bush's Secret Service code name. Here are the names that have been assigned by the Secret Service to the new team heading into the White House. The Obamas are all starting with R. Barack, Renegade. Michelle, Renaissance. Malia, Radiance. Sasha, Rosebud. Isn't that a Citizen Kane mention? So again, Obama himself, the president-elect, Renegade, his wife, Renaissance, older daughter, Malia, Radiance, Sasha, Rosebud. VP-elect Joe Biden is either Celtic or Celtic, depending on whether that's an NBA reference or a reference to Ireland. And his wife, Jill Biden, codename Capri, like the island off the coast of Italy. So if you know Bush's Secret Service name, call me, we'll give you the DVD. And it's not idiot or F-wad. Those guesses have already been attempted. Gina in Salinas, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, you ran all those by us yesterday, didn't you?
Nope, that's somebody else.
Oh, well, seems like it started with a G.
Yeah?
That is?
No.
Oh, I don't know. He's not going to be here long enough
to worry about it, huh?
Yeah, so I didn't bother to listen. You know, the marriage thing, if we're talking about a marriage license, that with that marriage license you get benefits.
Right.
That comes from the state, not the church.
That's right.
Okay, so the problem is not with the churches or religion. It's with the state.
Well, but it's not a problem. The state can issue a marriage license, and it's not. It does not require a church to honor it or execute it.
I realize that.
Yeah.
Okay, and Schwarzenegger said, or somebody said, it wasn't going to change anything as far as the churches. You know, I think you said that a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the if there's going to be a change, it'll have to be done in the state legal thing.
Well, I agree. It's a secular matter. And,
yeah, so,
and here's, Gina, I don't know if you happen to be listening earlier, but let me recap for our rush hour crowd that may not have heard my earlier report. Last night when I was sitting in on Air America, one of my guests was Marjorie Cohn, constitutional lawyer.
Yeah.
And I asked her, can the voters amend the Constitution to remove a right in this manner that was found to be in the Constitution just 6 months ago by the state Supreme Court? And what she told me is that there are two categories for a ballot measure that changes the Constitution. One is considered an amendment, and the other is considered a revision. Now, because the right existed on Election Day and was changed by the voters, Professor Cohn argues that this is a revision. And a revision requires more than just a majority popular vote on the initiative itself. It has to pass both houses of the legislature by a two-thirds vote if the court deems Prop 8 to be a revision instead of an amendment. If it's an amendment, it stands as it was drafted and as it has apparently passed with the majority vote.
Well, has anybody ever looked to see what the law said when they started the marriage license?
Well, you mean like when the state...
What was the original reading? How did the state
so before all of this hoo-ha, you mean?
Yeah, I mean...
So you go back 20 years? Well, I don't think that it defined marriage as between a man and a woman.
We don't know then, do we?
I don't know.
I haven't heard anybody mention that aspect of it.
Yeah.
What if we can find it on Google?
Well, let's check it out, Gina. Thank you very much for your call.
Okay.
And now to Pacific Grove, where we have Brian on the line. Hello, Brian. The secret,
hey, Peter.
The Secret Service code name for GWB is?
Is it Tumblr or Tumblr 3?
We have it as Tumblr, and we looked it up at the Chicago Tribune. I don't know where the 3 would come in.
Well,
Okay.
I just got it online a minute ago. So.
Oh, I see. You looked it up. I thought it was just, in your memory bank and that you had all kinds
of... Well, then, you can donate my prize.
Well, Brian, come on. It's a radio show. We're not going to send the contest police to Pacific Grove. Yep, you get a copy of the DVD, Burning the Future, Coal in America.
Excellent.
And I've got a stack of DVDs I promised to people. I'm going to get to the post office maybe on Friday. So if you've got one, do stand by, and a federal representative in a postal truck will bring it to you very soon.
All right, looking forward to it.
Okay, hold on, Brian. We'll get your address and mailed out to you. Thank you very much. I want to thank everybody who tuned in, everybody who called in, everybody who emailed, and those of you who sat silently there. I appreciate you, too. We'll do it again tomorrow, same time, same stations, and the podcast thingy, too.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Treasury Secretary Paulson has given up on the idea of buying toxic mortgage investments. Instead, he'll make more direct investments in banks, saying that's the fastest way to revive the credit market.
This market, which is vital for lending and growth, has for all practical purposes ground to a halt.
More from CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
This is a big change from the original blueprint for the $700 billion financial rescue plan. Money from the huge package won't be used to buy troubled bank assets. A big part of the bailout fund will still be tapped to buy bank stocks. Treasury Secretary Paulson says that's the best way to build up bank balance sheets while encouraging customary lending.
Banks have received billions already, but CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson found they're not being held accountable.
All the oversight boards and all of the mechanisms created to try to track the money aren't doing that. They're not going in to see exactly how the banks are spending the money. We ended up calling 9 of the top banks that got the money themselves and asked them, how is this money, how are these billions going to be used? And they rightly said, we don't have to disclose. That money was given to us by purchasing shares in our bank, and we can basically use it for any purpose that we want.
It's known that some of the money is being used for mergers and acquisitions. The Bush administration has reservations about using bailout money to rescue U.S. automakers, but the idea is getting a strong push from Democratic leaders in Congress. House Financial Services Committee Chairman Barney Frank says he's drafting a bill to lend the industry $25 billion.
It will be written so that the federal government is the first entity to be repaid as money comes in. That is, we will do everything we can to make sure that this $25 billion is a loan and it will be repaid.
Jeff Gilbert of Detroit station WWJ got reaction from General Motors.
The leadership in Congress is getting the message, says GM spokesman Greg Martin, that the auto industry has been hit by one of the most extraordinary economic challenges that this country has faced in a generation.
We're hearing a very good and clear, strong message that the industry needs the support, it needs it now to weather this very difficult economic period.
Martin says the loans will not only help GM survive, but also continue the progress they've made to reshape the business. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.